What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic 601 here on this Wednesday night. Man, we're in the middle of the week already, and we're glad to be back here with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic going until 10 o'clock. And because Tyler is off tomorrow night, tonight is family game night on this Wednesday. So we have family game night with you as we talk about a variety of things from the Phillies to the Sixers. And what they now have to do with that 23rd overall selection, which will be deferred by the Nets back to the Sixers for the first round pick at the 23rd overall selection. We'll talk about that. And we have to get into a little thing that we were discussing late last night that we wanted to carry over into this evening, which is the Embiid-Harper conversation as far as that best player in the city grid was put up on social media yesterday. So we'll get into it all. We'll talk about the birds as well as we get closer to the start of OTAs coming up here this month, this week, and coming up with the birds. And we have so much to talk about overall. Family game night, so we'll do that here following Ty, Jen, and Tom here doing a great job as always. But just to start briefly with the Phillies and getting to what happened yet again. When Tyler and I left last night, I said to Ty, Tyler, what's the score? What's going on right now? Was it still 3-3? I think it was 3-3 when we left, and that was deep in the 7th, 8th inning as things were going for the Phillies. And at this stage of the season and at this point, we kind of understand what's going to happen afterwards. And Tyler and I looked at each other, first of all, during the break, and was like, can they pull this one out? I'm like, no, I don't think so, because this is what they do. And lo and behold, they did it again. And it's unfortunate because this is where they are right now. The Phillies taking on once again. They are back at it tonight against the Giants. It's their final game against the Giants. And they are 21-29, third in the National League East. But we're almost a third of the way through the season. And right now in the standings, as we talked about yesterday, we are currently seeing them sit 13 games out of first place. Yes, 13 games out of first place. Ridiculous at this stage. And when we look at and you talk about, is it Joe Girardi's fault? And as Tyler pointed out last night, and we talked about it with the callers, it's not all his fault. No one said it's all his fault. But at some point, you look at the manager and say, but he is a problem too. Whatever their issues are, whether it's the defense, the bullpen, the lack of runs being scored, in the end, the finger is going to be pointed at the manager because they're not going to change the players this early. They can't do anything in the front office because Dombrowski has the control. The next thing that's going to happen, it is going to be the manager in Joe Girardi. He is a good baseball guy, we know. He knows baseball, but he also gets into the analytical part of it as well, where it may get involved a little bit too much for our liking, for the baseball team, that it shouldn't happen the way that it is. And as a result, lack of runs scored. Now you have the Gene Segura injury. What, 10 to 12 weeks now? He's going to be out. And they're already 13 games back, 8 games under 500. And this is where your baseball team is. We thought we were going to have something to get us through the summer. And we still have time. But it's not very encouraging to see how it is all playing off and starting off with the Phillies in this spot right now, down big the way that they are during the season. Something is going to have to give. At what point is enough enough? Will it change because of the manager? We don't know. But something has to change with this baseball team in order for them, with one of the highest payrolls in Major League Baseball, to be performing at this level right now. It's not excusable, man. No excuse for this. Yes, there are things to it. The runs are supposed to be able to help them out overall. The runs are supposed to make up for maybe some issues with the pitching. And right now, they're 9th in runs in during the season right now. They are 11th in the batting average at .244. Slugging percentage, 9th. On-base percentage, 17th at .310. They are a bad baseball team right now. Is this surprising? Well, kind of, yeah. because we thought that they would come out and get off to a much better start and be a better baseball team than we are seeing right now. Better than what we've seen these last few seasons, especially when you go and you change the manager and you think he's going to make a difference. You then upgrade the personnel, starting with Harper, Wheeler, Realmuto. Then you start to bring in some others, Andrew McCutchen at the time, and now even with Schwarber and Castellanos, and this baseball team is yet again in the same spot. This team stinks. It's unacceptable at this point of where they are right now. We talked about it last night. 2011, the last time that they made the postseason. And again, this is unacceptable based with this baseball team right now. It really is. And something is going to have to give. The optics of it all, and we talked about it, John Kincaid brought it up, and it was a good theory of Gabe Kapler not being in town, not firing Joe Girardi because the optics of it all will look bad. Okay, well, that series is almost over, and something has to give with this baseball team. The defense, they have the players that they have. The defense is not going to change unless they are going to get better at something that they're not good at, period. The defense will not change. That is not going to change. This is who they are as a defensive baseball team. The runs, they are not putting enough on the board to get over things, get over the poor defense that is being played by the baseball team in order to still win games at the end of the day, at the end of the night. Something has to give with this baseball team. And the one that's going to be, I don't care how long they wait. I don't care how long they wait. We know what's going to happen. Why wait? Why wait? What, because you gave him 50 games and right now you want to say 21 and 29, he's third? Well, you're also 13 games out of first place. Does that not give you an answer right there? He can still be a good manager and it just not work here. Both can be true. Good manager, not working here. Let's cut our ties right now because we need to figure something out to fix this. There's nothing that they can do, at least we think right now, going out there and acquiring more players to change the trajectory of the season and get them back on track to get them going to where they need to be. Nothing outside of possibly changing the manager, having a different voice in there if he has lost this clubhouse already. Now, Segura is out 10 to 12 weeks. Harper is scratched tonight. He's not playing. They have already lost two games against the Giants. They have lost five consecutive games between the Mets and the Giants after they were swept by the Mets with the possibility of being swept by the Giants here. And then we, of course, have to get ready for the next series with them taking on the Los Angeles Angels after having tomorrow off, getting ready for Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Tyler's American League team, the Los Angeles Angels, coming into town this weekend. So, just with this baseball team, something has to give, and I think we all understand what that one thing is that has to be done in order to make a change, hopefully, fix things. How surprised are you that this baseball team is 13 games under 500? I mean, out of first place, 9 games under 500 after 50 games of play. One third almost of the season, right? Complete. One fourth, sorry. Of the season, almost complete. No, I am right. One third. What am I talking about? I'm doing my math. Tyler's looking at me laughing like, yeah, you were right the first time. One third of the season, almost complete. And this is where we are with this baseball team already. So go ahead, get it off your chest like everybody else. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night, a family game night. Not a Thursday, but a Wednesday night tonight. Tyler's off tomorrow, so we do family game night tonight. Your thoughts again on the baseball team, where they are right now. They've lost 5 games in a row, going for potentially 6. We hope that they snap it because we want them to get on a winning streak. We always talk about, can they start to win 6 games, 7 games, 8 games? Well, you know, we get a lot of pushback from it, but they will lose 6 games in a row, 7 games in a row, 8 games in a row, and do it in really good dramatic fashion there to make us talk about it, make us think about it. We want them to turn it around. They keep finding ways to lose. And look, three games in a row, extra innings, and they lose the game. Three games in a row, and they lose the game in extra innings where they have their problems. Now, last night, Ranger Suarez was on the mound. All right, something's up with him, right? For whatever reason, while we trusted him, we felt like he was a good lefty starting, good season last year, this season. Even Tyler, who was big on him being in the lineup, in the rotation, and what he could do as that other guy, has already, look, the guy just looks off. Something's not right with him right now, and he just doesn't have it. He's not hitting spots. He's not, you know, doing what he needs to do. He had a big number of pitches through four innings last night where he had already had to be pulled again in the game simply because he has spilled it at that point. And with that, you know they're going to have him on the pitch count. They're going to do all that stuff. And now he has to come out of the game. Then you have to go into the bullpen one more time. You go into the bullpen. Now you can't use them the next night because of how Joe Girardi doesn't like to use guys in three consecutive nights. All of that stuff, that's not working with Ranger Suarez right now for whatever reason. This team needs a kick in the butt. They need a spark. Or, folks, and you hate to say it, where we just hit June 1st, they are who they are. Average baseball team with a high payroll, some big names, but still an average team that might sneak in to the third wild card spot and only sneak in to the third wild card spot because they simply aren't good enough right now. Just an average baseball team, despite the big payroll that they have right now. That's who they are. So your thoughts on your baseball team, five in a row, looking to lose two series, being swept in both by the Mets and potentially the Giants if Aaron Nola and the lineup cannot get it done tonight against the Giants. This is not good with your baseball team. So your thoughts, 610-632-0975. And as we're saying this, our guy, Toot the Barber, on Twitter, I can't let the Phillies ruin my summer, bro. I can't. I don't care how many big-time bats you have on the baseball team. You will need elite pitching. That's the Phillies' problem right now, according to Toot. Well, Toot, they have some okay pitching. Pitching hasn't been the biggest problem. You sure? Elite is fantastic, right? You would love to have 1-2-3 be elite, or at least 1-2 be elite. Wheeler is very good. We know how good he is. And you know he was a runner-up in Cy Young a season ago. Nola has been okay this season, and everyone else has been okay this season. It hasn't been on them overall in losing. They have not hit the way that they need to hit. They have not put enough runs on the board the way that they need to do that. And the defense, too, it sucks. It sucks. Too many times where we've seen awful defense by this baseball team in the field, and they need to improve and get better at that. Just the fundamental stuff. Too, and everybody else, think back to when we were going through that run from 2007 to 2011 with that Phillies team, the Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, all those guys. And look, Ryan Howard was not the best defender at first, but he wasn't the best guy for Pat Burrell. Wasn't fantastic in the outfield and left. Wasn't. But he did fundamental stuff. He had a rocket arm. So at least if he couldn't catch something and if it came caroming off the wall somewhere, he had a gun. Well, he had a strong arm to deliver the ball to the cutoff man, maybe throw somebody out at second, not allow them to advance past third to get to home. They just don't do a lot of good things defensively with this baseball team with where they are right now. 13 games out of first and 9 games out of 500. Defense sucks. It stinks. They need to improve. The bats need to put more runs up, and they need to do that. Sure, Harper being injured hurts them, but he's out there in the lineup and trying to do what he can. He can't be out there in the field. They need to be better overall. 610-632-0975. We're going to get into the Sixers' 23rd overall pick now that Brooklyn has deferred that pick for this month's draft later on the 23rd on a Thursday night. We get the draft, and the Sixers will have a first-round pick this year because of Brooklyn deferring the pick back to the Philadelphia 76ers. And basically, before we get to the phones and talking some Phillies, basically how it goes here with the deferring of the pick, the Sixers are allowed to use the pick at number 23 in this draft as well. So if they want to use this pick with, let's say, Matisse Thybulle, hypothetically, to acquire a much better pick. And as Tyrone was talking about, to also include Danny Green in that, picking up his option or knowing the team on the other end that they're making a deal with, wants it to absorb that salary, they can do something with it and use that as a trade piece as well for Danny Green while he rehabs his ACL and LCL. They can include all of that in a deal on the 23rd at pick number 23 in this year's draft. But we also need to talk about if you actually want to keep that for a younger athletic player, maybe potentially on the wing. Do you want to wait that long? Huh? Do you want to wait that long and find out in the draft if that's what you want to do? Or do you want a veteran player to go with, let's say, they do decide to keep the four starters out there, Harris, Maxey, Harden, and Embiid, and go out there and get a veteran player to fill that fifth starting role that knows his role but is a better shooter than Matisse Thybulle, maybe as good as Danny Green, but can also give you a little bit more defensively, athletically, to do some things there. So we have a lot to talk about there. We'll get to that as well. It's family game night, 610-632-0975. I already know what it is because we talked about it last night. I hinted at it towards Tyler, and he said, yep, family game night. The NBA Finals gets underway tomorrow night, game one, Golden State and the Boston Celtics. Man, I hope Golden State wins this badly. I always rooted for Golden State in those other championship games, series that they had, and they got three of them. I need a fourth badly because I do not want the Celtics to win. I can't stand them. My number one hated franchise. I am a Golden State Warriors fan, true and true, over the next week and a half for this NBA Finals, or 2 weeks for this NBA Finals, as long as it goes. Knock them off in four, Golden State. Let's get this thing done. Let me get my Warriors gear and get ready because I'm supporting the Golden State Warriors because I despise the Boston Celtics.
You just start saying we.
We, the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors. Strength in the numbers.
That's exactly right.
Strength in the numbers.
And you know I don't like when people say we.
But we are all we now because we cannot have the Boston Celtics win this.
Correct. Correct. And you know me too. Like, I am not even a, like, Boston is not my least favorite team in the NBA. It's always been that way. They're just not. And I know people go, wow, well, then who could it be? Because Boston's the Sixers' biggest rival. And, you know, you kind of talk about this a lot, but I have an admiration for this team, this Boston team. I know that that's, like, blasphemous to say. It'd be like me saying I have an admiration for the Dallas Cowboys. I have an admiration for the way that this team plays. So I can't say that I don't like them. I don't like the Celtics logo or, you know, like the idea of the Celtics. But this particular team, I don't necessarily dislike. But you're right. I think everybody in the city would be foolish if they're not a Golden State Warriors.
I love Jason Tatum. I'm a fan of Jaylen Brown. I would love to have Marcus Smart on my team. Right? I like the players that they have. But I cannot like the team because it's the Boston Celtics. It's the organization. That's something I cannot get behind. That will never change no matter who I like on that basketball team. It's just what it is. So go Warriors. I'm a Warriors fan through and through over the next couple of weeks because we cannot have the Boston Celtics win this series. So, all right, let's start off with some Phil's talk. We'll get Tyler's thoughts on the Phillies as well and talk about the 23rd overall selection in this month's draft. 610-632-0975. Let's begin in Glen Olden. Get Brian in here to start things off for us, tipping us off tonight on this Wednesday, 97.5. Brian, how you doing?
Devon, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? I'm okay, except for that Celtics part. I can't have it.
Well, listen. First of all, I don't want to talk too much about the Phillies. Who cares about the Phillies? Even if they was to make the third playoff spot, who really cares? The team sucks. The organization sucks. The coaching staff sucks. Everything about the Phillies sucks. Let's go Philadelphia Warriors.
But real fast, we just hope that it was a better thing, sport to get us through this summer. All the players that they added and all of that, it was supposed to be a better product out there on the baseball field, B. That's all.
No, thank God for the upcoming football season because we ain't even got to think about this Philly team. Let's just look forward to the, you know, the first game come with September, whatever date that is in September when, you know, everything counts so far as the football season goes. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to right now.
I hear you, man. I hear you. You said the Philadelphia Warriors. That's what we're calling them for the finals. The Philadelphia Warriors.
Philadelphia Warriors. Warriors in four.
I'll take it. Hey, man. Thanks for checking in with us, B. Thanks for starting us off, man.
What's wrong with the game? I want to play the game, man.
Oh, you want to start us off with the NBA Finals trivia right away? All right, look. Called in. You asked for it, so we got to get Tyler to get this thing going and get it started. So, Tyler Zuli, are you ready for an NBA Finals trivia question?
Threw me off a little bit because I didn't have the
I didn't
the
expect
first
it right away either. But
yet.
Let's go.
But we have to do it, obviously. So, all right, Brian, let me get you the music. Okay. And then we will get you the.
Gotta have the background. Every we gotta have a theme song. Come on.
You know we gotta do the music. So, let me ask you this this question here. Besides Michael Jordan, who is a 6-time Finals MVP, who has the second most Finals MVPs in NBA history?
Wow. Off the top of my head, I would say Kareem.
Was that a buzz?
Hello?
That was a buzzer? Okay.
Correct.
You said Michael Jordan has the
most? Michael Jordan has the most. He's got six. He won the NBA Finals MVP every time he won the Finals.
All right. Who is second?
Correct.
I am going to go with... Man. Do we know how far it goes back?
The award is called the Bill Russell Award.
Yeah, does it go all the way back to Bill Russell and those Celtics teams?
No. It goes back to the first player to win the NBA Finals MVP was Willis Reed in 1970.
In 1970. I am going to go with... Wow. Larry Bird?
Need an answer.
Larry Bird.
It's not Larry Bird. I apologize. I hit the wrong button.
It's
Larry
okay.
Bird is tied for fourth with two.
Is it Magic?
No.
Who was it?
LeBron James. He's got four.
He has four, Brian.
Two with the Heat, one with the Cavs, one with the Lakers.
There you go, Brian. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
You got it, man. That's a good one. That's a good little stumper right there with LeBron. And I was thinking LeBron, but I'm like, nah. But I didn't, you know, I didn't calculate the two with the Miami Heat. Obviously, the Lakers, I didn't pay attention to that one. That's my bad. But that's what we're doing. NBA Finals trivia tonight for family game night. LeBron James is the answer. I'm disappointed in myself and Brian from Glen Olden as we start things off. All right, 610-632-0975. The Phillies are terrible. It's just a bad product right now. 13 games out of first place and 9 games under 500 with 50 games already in the books. For your baseball team, something's got to give. What has to give, folks? Let's talk about it. 610-632-0975, and we'll talk about the Sixers. The Nets deferring the pick, number 23, back to Philadelphia for the draft later on this month. In the NBA draft, that will be on the 23rd of June. We're talking about it right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
6:32 on this Wednesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Can the Phillies avoid the sweep tonight against the San Francisco Giants? Call in, talk about it. As the game is also going on with Aaron Nola on the mound. See what they do against this team trying to avoid their 6th consecutive loss and their 2nd consecutive sweep in as many series. Mets and Giants already lost the series, but trying to pick up a game, not being swept with 13 games now behind the New York Mets in first place. 9 games already under 500. At this point, 610-632-0975. Also, again, family game night. NBA Finals version for us tonight, where Tyler, as the game show host, will have things under control for us here in discussing that. and what we need to do. I already failed once with the LeBron James part. I'm disappointed in myself, but that's all right. I'll make up for it as we go along. But Tyler, bring you in right away and get your thoughts on the Phillies and how this whole thing has gone. Again, when we stepped away last night, they were tied up 3-3 with the Giants, and neither of us really had faith that they would actually win the game. But with that being said, here we go again.
Here we go again. Hello, by the way.
Hello.
It's good to be back with you.
Yes, you too.
Today,
yes,
at 6:34 on June 1st, I have nothing positive left to say about this team. I sat here and said over the weekend, don't take one series as a sample size. It's too small. Don't allow the frustrations of May to impact your June. I still think this team is going to make the playoffs. I still believe they go out and closer to the deadline, acquire another arm and perhaps a center fielder of some sort. And for the better part of now, we're talking about like 100 hours. This team has made me look really, really, really foolish.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I have nothing good to say about this team because they've been gutless. They've been embarrassing. The manager makes the wrong decisions every single night on a nightly basis. It's actually almost impressive to see him do it. Their inability to hit with runners in scoring position is borderline pathetic. And this has been a team who's for a long time has not been able to hit with runners in scoring position. But this team can't do it at all. Their plate approach is poor. Their discipline is poor. They go up swinging far too often at pitches that are not sustainable for an actual plate approach. Their defense is embarrassing. They're deficient in the most simple constructs of the defensive side of the game. And they still seem to have zero fight and zero desire and zero heart. And when you hear comments from guys like Kyle Schwarber, who basically said it is what it is, that's disheartening as a fan. And so we've heard our first caller today in Glen Olden, Brian, said they suck. Everything sucks. Toot text, she's not going to let it ruin their summer. We've heard a lot of people on Twitter say, I'm not letting this team ruin my summer. They are doing this to themselves in a time where you have almost, or you know what, in fact, it's not almost, it is a 40% chance to make the playoffs in the National League, and they're doing this to themselves.
Yep.
It's an embarrassment.
It is. It is, and this is where we are right now. This is what the season has become at this point. And it stinks, man, because we really don't have faith. As much as we like the lineup and we see some encouraging things like Alec Bohm, off to a slow start, he's bounced back and he's looked pretty good, promising with what he has done, right? And then you do get some good stuff from the pitching staff overall. Mickey Moniak comes back, and we talked about it last night. Everybody's expecting him to just come in and solidify that center field spot, which is good for them now and the later. But look at what we're grasping onto, and we're asking him to do that while they're still being a terrible baseball team. That can help out certainly this season defensively as we talk about it, and later on in the season as well and in the future. But right now, look at what we're grasping at. Now you have Gene Segura out for 10 to 12 weeks because of his injury, and you have Bryce Harper still dealing with his injury while only being able to be a DH. And Ranger Suarez, you know, not looking like the Ranger Suarez that you expected to come back into this season with a starting role from the beginning of the season. This is a problem. What needs to be done, though, is the question that we ask you as well. What's next for this baseball team at this point? Tyler, I'll ask you before we get back to the phones and get into the other part of our conversation here. What's next? What has to happen next?
Well, you have...
If we are to believe that the defense, the plate approach, all the things, is just not going to change, the losses are going to continue to pile up.
Sure.
Next thing you know, they're going to be 10 games and 12 and 13 games under 500, and they're going to be further down in the division. What's next?
You have... I think you have one of three choices.
Mm-hmm.
Option number one, it's not a palatable one, is double down on what you've done so far. Make aggressive moves at the deadline, trade what little prospects you have, and hope that the return on investment is enough to win you a championship over the course of the next, let's say 3 years. I think that that's a fair model, because even if they do make those moves, it's not going to save this year per se, but it may save enough to get to the playoffs. And then from there, you get a taste, and then something may be able to happen. That's step number one. It's not palatable. Step number two is equally not palatable, is you admit that this was a mistake. You start to deconstruct as best you can, despite the fact that you're only 50 games in to a $233 million payroll. And at that point, you're in an admittance of rebuild. And if you're in an admittance of rebuild, whatever pieces that you're able to trade and make moves for, you're now looking at probably another 7 to 8 to 9 years of a rebuild, because you've got to come down still before you go up. And then you're talking about basically nearly 20 years of missing the playoffs consecutively. This fan base won't stand for that either. The third thing, which is also not palatable, which is why they're in a terrible spot that they're in, is do absolutely nothing. And I'm not sure which one the fan base will react to the kindest, because none of them are good options at this point, because you're not good enough to buy, and I don't think you're bad enough to remotely sell or totally sell. And so I think you're going to find themselves in option number three, which is do nothing. And you're just going to waste the summer.
I wonder at what point do they get to the, well, it's time to blow this thing up. Kind of, even after all the money that they've spent and Dombrowski coming in trying to be a win now, if things don't change, it's what it is.
Do you remember?
It's just what it is.
Do you remember the year? I want to say it was probably like early 2010s, maybe like 2012, maybe like 2011, 2012, something along those lines, where the Padres went out and spent a ridiculous amount of money. Was it the Padres? I think it was the Padres.
2012?
Something like that. Was it the Padres? Or was it a bunch of players from the Padres? Whatever it was. I forget if it was the Padres. Maybe it was either a bunch of players from the Padres went to the Marlins, or a bunch of players from the Marlins went to the Padres, and one of those two teams spent a lot of money. And what makes me believe it was the Padres is because the Marlins don't spend money. And they brought in a ton of different names, and it didn't work. And they admitted probably about two-thirds of the way through the season that it didn't work, and they started making trades at the deadline. And if you're under that pretense, this team is sunk for a long time.
Wow.
Long time.
And it has already been long enough. 2011, last time they made the postseason, and that's just where we are right now, man. 610-632-0975. I'm looking at this here from Justin Clue on Twitter 8 hours ago. Pirates, 21 wins, $35 million payroll. Orioles, 21 wins, $33 million payroll. Nationals, 18 wins, $85 million payroll. Total of $153 million, where the Phillies are sitting at the exact win total of the Pirates and the Orioles, but with a $200 million payroll at this point. Ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. 610-632-0975. All right, before we get to the deferring of the 23rd pick in this month's NBA draft, where the Brooklyn Nets sent the pick back to the Philadelphia 76ers as part of the Ben Simmons, James Harden trade in February, wanted to bring back what we talked about a little bit last night. Bryce Harper, not in the lineup tonight, scratched tonight. Joel Embiid, as we know, second runner-up to the MVP, Nikola Jokic, for the second consecutive season for the big fella. And this graphic that we saw yesterday, we brought it up late in the 9 o'clock hour and wanted to bring it back a little bit today, that when you look at this team, I mean, you look at these two players and look at their standing in the city, who's the best player in the city right now? I think it's Joel Embiid, but this graphic that we saw yesterday and went through all the cities in the country, in the United States, they had Bryce Harper as the best player in the city. Now, I understand that he won the MVP, as he should have. We were all thrilled that he was rewarded with that last season, and he should have. We know how important he is. We know what he's done. well-deserved. Second MVP of his career. Joel Embiid, two-time runner-up, back-to-back seasons in his career. But we also thought that he should have won it, that he should have gotten it, that this was his since he could not and didn't qualify with enough games a season ago. He did his part. He should have won it. I think Joel Embiid is actually the better player than Bryce Harper. And I don't think there's any disrespect if you go with Bryce Harper while I go with Joel Embiid. Tyler said last night he gives the edge to Bryce Harper, a slight edge, but an edge to Bryce Harper over Joel Embiid. I think Embiid is the best player in the city, and I kind of wanted to know what people thought about this and if you feel Bryce Harper is the best player in the city right now. He's carrying that torch with Joel Embiid a close second right behind him as they carry the mantle for the Philadelphia athlete as the best player. Harper, two MVPs, one last season as a Philly. Joel Embiid, five consecutive playoffs, second round matchups in four of them, all losers, a couple of game sevens mixed in there, but all losers. And we know the five-time All-Star that he has been a part of now, all as a starter, all NBA player, all defensive player. He's a complete package, and that's why I give him the edge, despite not winning the actual awards that say that he was the most valuable player in his sport. As Tyler pointed out, Bryce Harper's probably top five as a batter in the Major League Baseball. Joel Embiid is the top five player in the National Basketball Association. They are neck and neck. Maybe you say they are tied. Maybe neither is better than the other, and you give the edge for different reasons. But when it all comes back to it, they're still one and one. Neither one of them are better than the other. But I wanted to ask that because it seemed like without any explanation as to why this graphic was put together with the cities, no explanation as to why Bryce Harper, in their mind, was the best player in Philadelphia. We give our answers as to why we believe. I just laid out a few. And for those who didn't hear us last night, I just laid a few out that we talked about last night. And we'll get Tyler's thoughts, too, as to why he believes that the slight edge does go to Bryce Harper. No knock on Embiid, just a slight edge over Embiid for Bryce Harper as the best player to represent the city in the professional sports here with the five sports teams, Phillies, Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, Union. Harper for Tyler, you can explain to the people why you chose that route.
Well, and I will say this, looking at the graphic again last night after we got off the air.
Okay.
There is no doubt in my mind that whomever made this graphic is a baseball and hockey fan.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And granted, there were some cities, you know, Edmonton, Vancouver. There's some cities in the NHL specifically that have teams where none of the other teams of the four major sports exist. Like I just said, Edmonton and Vancouver. So you kind of have a limited pool to begin with. And quite frankly, if we're using Edmonton as the example, it wouldn't matter if Babe Ruth was or Hank Aaron were playing in the Edmonton Major League Baseball team, right? Because quite frankly, Connor McDavid may be the most talented player to ever lace skates and play the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very clear that the person who made this was a baseball and hockey fan. There's a lot of players on that list from baseball and hockey teams. The reason, like I said last night, that I give the most razor thin edge to Bryce Harper compared to Joel Embiid is when I compare the the current list of players in the NBA versus the current list of hitters in Major League Baseball, I think you would find Bryce Harper on the list at a higher number by literally maybe one or two than you would find Joel Embiid across the grand scope of the NBA. And again, like I said last night, that's not entirely fair because Embiid is far more impactful to the 76ers than Bryce Harper is to the Phillies. MVP winners or not aside, playoffs or not aside, Embiid is a far more important player to the Sixers than Bryce Harper is to the Phillies. But if I'm using that scale, I think you're probably putting Harper as maybe the fifth best hitter in Major League Baseball, and I'm putting Joel Embiid maybe as, I don't know, the sixth best player in the NBA. It is the thinnest of margins.
All right, and look, I want to correct myself because my buddy, Don checks in, and he sent me a message, private message to say this. I don't even know if he wants this on the air, but he's listening, and he corrects me and says, "Listen, real fast, he was the MVP of the National League, not all of baseball. So it's the National League.
Correct.
Make sure we correct that. And Joel would have been the MVP of the Eastern
NBA.
Conference,
right?
Or the NBA in general had the voting." Jokic would have won in the West, and Embiid would have won in the East, so they both would have done it. And
do you think they should split it?
I appreciate that. No, I don't.
Do you think baseball should go to one?
I think baseball should go to one.
I would have no issue with that. I think there needs to be some continuity to the whole thing.
Yep.
Because there's only one NFL MVP, right? There's only one Hart Memorial Trophy winner in the NHL. Baseball
now
does
you'll
too.
You'll get Offensive Player of the Year or Defensive Player of the Year and all that stuff, but we know there is an MVP.
And I know that Major League Baseball, those two leagues, the American League and National League, for a long time were separate leagues and didn't have affiliation with each other until they got to the World Series. But since it's become a congruent one league, one large league separated into two league, you know, to determine the two 15-sided leagues,
mm-hmm.
They should probably go to one, or the other two sports go to one in each.
Yeah. I actually think I'm fine. Here's what I'm fine with. I'm fine with how they do it now with this Eastern Conference Finals MVP or most valuable player, whatever they want to, best player for the series. I like that. I'm okay with that. And I'm just fine with them doing what they do with the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and so on and so forth as well in the NBA. With some of these others as well, yeah, I'm good with where things are right now, except for I do think baseball. I would like to see just give it to one.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, give it to one. You can award something where you do what you do in each league, but give it to one.
There's not NFC Head Coach of the Year.
No,
there's not Eastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah,
baseball's the only one that does it. I agree with you. I wouldn't be upset if they decided that they were going to go in that direction where it was one MVP, one Cy Young, one Rookie of the Year, one Manager of the Year. Yeah. I wouldn't have any issue with it.
So John in South Philly, South Philly 53 says, "I love you, homie, but it's Bryce. He is not an almost MVP. He has two. Either you win or you don't. No offense to anyone." And look, it's no offense. No offense at all, John. Love you back, man. I appreciate it. That's why we're asking the question, as they put that out there, no offense to anyone. He has two. Joel does not, almost is not there. I agree with you. He was a runner-up. Runner-up does not win an award. You're 100% right. But I can also sit there and say Bryce Harper is not in the playoffs. He has not taken his team to the playoffs in the five. See, now he's done enough to carry them to do what he did. There are things in favor for Joel Embiid as well, getting them to five consecutive playoffs. They have been knocked out in the second round, but they're there. But they're there. Five-time All-Star. Overall, Bryce Harper hasn't made the All-Star team, right, in the last couple of seasons. Especially since he's been here, which we always look at and we're like, man, that's crazy. How's he not making the All-Star team, right? What's happening here? How's he not making the All-Star team in the National League? He's Bryce Harper. How's he not making it? Well, he turns it up in the second half versus having a slower start in the first half. That's why he's not making the All-Star team. And maybe somebody else jumps back in for Real Muto will be the representative for the Phillies. And that's the only one that they'll get in. Something along those lines. So I guess we could argue that too in saying there are other reasons why you pick Embiid despite not having the trophies, and why Harper may have the edge because of the trophies, despite not making the playoffs and even making the All-Star teams and whatever version it is, of the individual awards, the Gold Glove, the slugging award, right, that they get at the end of the year, where Embiid, though, makes first or second team and all defense as well. So we can go in a lot of different directions. That's why we asked the question, because we thought it was an interesting thing as far as discussion goes for that list that was put out there, and we wanted to ask you about it. Embiid or Harper, best player in the city? 610-632-0975. When we come back, we will get into deferring the 23 pick from Brooklyn back to Philadelphia. They have a pick. What will they do about it? We will find out. We will talk about it and what the potential opportunities are there for them to do something with that selection, taking a younger player or using that, packaging it into another deal because they can, because they deferred it back and the Nets want to wait a little bit longer. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Family game night as well. Tyler Zuli, leftovers at 9:45 and handling triple duty as he is also producing the show and is the game show host and has the 9:45 leftovers here on this Wednesday night. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Back with you here on this Wednesday night. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli hanging out as well as we go until 10 discussing the Phillies, the Sixers now, as we talk about obviously Harper and Embiid and the best player in the city, but now with this 23rd selection being deferred back to the 76ers, gives the Sixers some options, which is the Sixers again sent this pick unprotected to the Brooklyn Nets as part of their deal with James Harden and Ben Simmons in February, and now the Nets have decided to send the pick back to Philadelphia for this season and take the Sixers unprotected pick for next year's draft instead. Now it's time for you all to get ready for your scouting and figuring out what you want at pick number 23, or if you want to use that selection and trading and sending it elsewhere for a possible veteran player in a deal with that 23rd, having that player come back and be your fifth starter. Because if you look at things and the Sixers, okay, let's say again, they strike out in moving Tobias Harris, if that's a possibility, or Tyrese Maxey, however it goes, but you have Harden, Maxey, Harris, and Embiid back as your normal four, then you're still going to need a fifth. Danny Green is out. He will not be a part of that. Matisse Thybulle left a lot of questions for many of us. Left a lot of questions for many of us. And our belief in him to be a starter, to be the fifth starter next season. He is behind on his offensive development. His defense suffered when he was out there in the postseason because he was inconsistent with his time and his minutes. Therefore, he couldn't give the 76ers what they needed as that fifth starter. So, I do want to talk about what you want them to do with this 23rd selection. It's not that, you know, it's not huge. It's not like it was during the rebuild where you had picks upon picks upon picks, whether it was top 10 pick, a top 15 pick, top 3 pick. Certainly these selections that they have in the latter part of the first round. But here's what they've done since 2018 in the late part of the first round. They've taken Landry Shamet. They did so at pick number 26 in 2018. In 2019, Ty Jerome, as I look at Keith Pompey's story here on theinquirer.com, Ty Jerome picked 24th, but then traded out as the 24th selection. They then traded him and Carson Edwards to the Boston Celtics. Carson Edwards was the 33rd pick, where a lot of people wanted Carson Edwards. And that deal was for Matisse Thybulle, who came here as the 20th selection by Boston, again swapped with those two picks, Jerome and Edwards. Jerome Edwards, one player, gotcha. In 2020, they went with Tyrese Maxey at 21, tremendous pick. And last season, last summer, 28, Jaden Springer, to be determined. So this will be, once again, another year where they make another selection in the 20s with a player who could help out. There have been another number of players. Two right here, Maxey and Thybulle, who have helped out. While Ty Jerome and Carson Edwards have not worked out in the NBA, both still hanging around. Landry Shamet on his third team now with the Phoenix Suns, but got himself a nice little contract. So a valuable piece in the NBA. And we've seen a number of 20s turn out well in the NBA draft. From later in the 20s, early in the 20s, mid-20s, whatever it might be, there are players to be had in the 20s. Now, if we talk about this particular draft class and what they have, there's some okay players, not great players, some okay players that fall to you there later in that first round in the 23 range. One player that I know Keith talks about a lot because he was there in Chicago, saw him work, saw what he did. Saw him also, I did, with the NBA G League Ignite. A player coming out of high school decided to go this route versus going to college. Marjon Beauchamp, 6'6 wing. 6'6 wing. Could he be an option there? Will he be there that long? Will you have an opportunity to take him? Don't know. Don't know. If I look at this updated mock draft from John Wasserman, who I think is one of the best in the in as far as picking these players and mock drafting and all that stuff, he's one of the best. And if we go to, let me see here. If we go to, let's say we go to pick 23 here in this particular draft. Before everything happened today, he has the Brooklyn Nets taking Walker Kessler, the Auburn center, to Brooklyn. Maybe the Sixers don't want to draft a center. Maybe they go with a big man, I mean a wing or a guard, and they go with, because Dalen Terry, point guard, shooting guard, 6'5", I think he is, he went one pick before them to the Memphis Grizzlies. He would be a nice option, by the way. Sophomore, he would be a nice option. He just, as a matter of fact, yesterday it was announced that he's going to stay in the draft. I guess he feels like he's going to have a first-round opportunity, so he's going to stay in the draft. But there will be some names there for the Sixers to look at. From Kennedy Chandler, who's a point guard. He was a true freshman, though. He's a freshman. Patrick Baldwin Jr., also a freshman. Wendell Moore, shooting guard, small forward from the Duke Blue Devils. Maybe you've seen him and you like Wendell Moore, and he might be around there at that time. So there will be some names. There will be some names there available for the 76ers. They don't have a second round pick. They only have this first round pick. And if you don't take a player, do you then again, as we talked about at the very top, then make a deal and send this pick out for another team? And let me give you the rules quickly as well with how this can go. They could obviously keep the player, trade him, and do whatever. Do they go the draft and stash route as well? I don't think they'll do that, but maybe drafting the player or trading the player. They cannot trade the pick, though, until they make the selection because of the rules that does not allow teams to not have a first-round pick in consecutive drafts. So they have to make the pick. Could they make the pick for this next team that they're sending the player to? So even if it is Beauchamp that we say he goes and the Sixers drafted him, but they're sending him to Atlanta. Okay, sending him to Atlanta. There it is, but they have to make the selection first and then send the player to Atlanta. I know you guys, you like young talent. I do know that. I know Sixer fans out there, you like young talent. The only problem is you don't know if the young talent is going to be ready. Look at Jaden Springer, freshman coming out of Tennessee, pick 28. Spent a lot of time with the G League and the Delaware Bluecoats. Did a fine job, but could not crack the rotation and come up here and help like a lot of young players do. Do you want to go that route? Do you want to have another young body on the team They could have a lot of young legs, some energy, all that stuff. You see so many players helping out, doing a nice job, doing a fine job. Look at Peyton Pritchard last season as a rookie. This year, second-year man, playing minutes when needed because of the injury to Marcus Smart when they made the trade with Dennis Schroeder and Josh Richardson. While Derek White came in, Peyton Pritchard, though, they trusted enough to be the other guard to come off the bench. Can you find that type of player? As we talked about, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, already players who are drafted in the 20s that can come in and help you out. There's some decent players in this draft, even when you start to get to the teens, the latter part of the, just outside of the lottery, like Mark Williams, the center from Duke. Is that a player that you want to mix in? If you don't have faith in Paul Reed or Charles Bassey, do you go with Mark Williams? Who's the center again? Do you go with I like E.J. Liddell from Ohio State. He has some funkiness to his game as a wing player. He's a power forward in school. He has a little bit of some stuff to him that I like from Ohio State. Could he be, as a junior, can he come in and give you minutes? Because what we're looking at now is obviously finding their way in the rotation during a regular season. But if called upon in the postseason.
Doing what?
Could you.
Explain that. That's not a thing. Not with this team.
Not with this team?
Not with this
not
team.
Not with Doc Rivers? Yeah, well, then that goes to the other part of just simply using them as trade bait.
Yeah.
To bring in when we say veteran, you can still be a 23-year-old veteran in
sure.
the NBA.
I think that's probably the more likely approach. Because the issue is, whomever they draft, whether it be an E.J. Liddell, right? And you say that this kid could play a little four, could play a little five, he's got a little bounce. You use the right word. His game's a little funky.
And I would probably say more 3-4 for him in the NBA.
Probably. Okay. All right. So you want to go 3-4. Is the deficiencies in that particular regard, are they surmountable? Because everybody that you're taking a look at this point, forget Tyrese Maxey for a second, because Tyrese Maxey was an anomaly. Tyrese Maxey, we all know the story. If there's a tournament, Tyrese Maxey is a top 15 pick, almost assuredly. Now, you're right. You can find productivity. You mentioned Peyton Pritchard, and Bones Highland was a guy that was productive because he was needed.
One or two picks before
he was needed to be for the Denver Nuggets this year due to all the injury.
Yeah.
The problem is, more times than not, even though you can get productivity, you're getting a player in this spot because they are deficient in one particular important thing. So, like, I think about a guy like Kendall Brown from Baylor, who he's long, he's athletic, he's a good defender, could play a little three, could play small ball four if you needed him to. But the problem is, he's not a good three-point shooter, at least not yet. He shot 33% from Baylor, but remember, that's from the college three-point line. I don't know what that transitions to. A player that's his name keeps coming up in comparisons to Kendall Brown, or Kendall Brown's a comparison to him, is Corey Maggette. You get a player like Corey Maggette, I think you're going to be thrilled. But are you going to be so fixated on the lack of three-point shooting, the fact that this guy can do a lot of other things and score at the rim, do they usurp or supersede the fact that he is so deficient in one particular category of his game?
Where do you lean? Do you lean more towards
what would I do, or what do I think they're going to do?
What would you do first?
I'd bring a veteran in. Yeah. I need somebody. I would use this player, whichever player you select, as part of a trade package to bring a veteran in. I need somebody who can score off the bench. And the fact is, I don't know what Jaden Springer is going to give you next year. I don't know what Charles Bassey is going to give you next year. I don't know what Paul Reed is going to give you next year. And these are young guys that you have had on your roster and had opportunities to develop. And so far, other than Reed, you've not done a very good job at it. So I can't trust that you're going to bring a young guy in and get lightning in a bottle like Tyrese Maxey compared to getting a player who may be good down the line with a team whose championship window is probably 3 years. Maybe 3 years.
Yeah, unless I get the right player that I really want and know that he's going to be there, I'm moving the pick.
I have to.
And I'm going to get a fifth starter.
Yeah, I have to.
I'm using this with Furkan Korkmaz maybe, or the Danny Green thing that we talked about.
Shake Milton perhaps.
Whatever it might be, I'm using that to go out there and acquire a veteran that I can have as my fifth starter. So it could be just simply a wing, just coming in a nice wing. I don't know what that wing is. I don't know if it's sending this pick to, I don't know, Orlando for Gary Harris finally, right? You know, something like that, where 6'4", 6'5", wing player who can knock, who can stick a three and defend. Not the biggest, but since you have experience, big, okay body, 6'4", 6'5", knows how to defend, has Tobias Harris still there, that's a nice piece that can come in and be your other starter in some sort of sign and trade, but you use, again, this player that you draft at 23 with something else to go to Gary Harris, go with Gary Harris and whatever else they need to do to make the money work, Furkan Korkmaz, and they do whatever they want with Furkan Korkmaz, trade him, whatever they want to do, or give him a shot in Orlando, something like that, where you bring in a veteran wing player, Gary Harris's age, maybe younger, that you feel like can come in and help this basketball team out going forward instead of taking another young piece. Because if Doc Rivers is not going to play the young player and he's not as dynamic as Tyrese Maxey, and we didn't get a chance to see Maxey really until year number two, then you're just taking another guy to have sitting on the bench, and maybe that won't even work out.
Or worse, and no disrespect to this team, he's playing a majority of the year in the G League.
Yes, that's
no,
what I'm
no
saying.
Disrespect to the developmental core of that team, but for a team, like we said, that may have a three-year championship window, it's got to happen now.
Right.
Or close to it.
Yes. You would like for it to. You would like for it to happen that way 100%.
And I think the big concern is going to be Gary Harris is a great example because that's one of the few pulls that I think may routinely come up. The problem is going to be you're going to have to find a very small niche audience to pull from. And what I mean by audience is like trade partners to pull from that are in a spot where they're not good or not great, I should say, have a veteran who is maybe kind of wilting away on that team or not being able to provide a spark for a team that's in a playoff push and a team that is willing to move that veteran all in the same breath. It's going to be very, very difficult to find a trade partner. Gary Harris is a great example with the Magic, especially considering the fact that they have the number one overall pick, too. They might want to get two first rounders.
Sure, or somebody who doesn't have a pick at all, or someone who has a pick in the second round.
There's a ton of teams that don't have a pick.
And they might like a player for what their situation currently is at that time. Before we get to the phones, and I see we have people who want to talk about this and others, and it is Family Game Night, folks. Again, we're going to have NBA Finals Trivia tonight, Family Game Night, here as Tyler Zuli is hosting here on the show. What do you think they will do? Tyler, you said what you think that, you know, you want them to do. What do you think they will do?
I think that they will select a player in this spot and hope to get some spark out of them because of the fact that even though it's a first round tenure, or tender, I should say, on the player's contract, I think they're going to try to go that route and not have to pay anybody any more than they have to pay a first-round pick. I would love to see them make a trade for a veteran. I don't know if they will.
I'm thinking because of the mid-level, the biannual, where they can do something there as far as money and acquiring someone.
And I think with the talent level, you can still get a player on a vet minimum somewhere.
See, we're still trying to find a fifth starter.
Oh, you're not getting a fifth starter. I mean, unless
you make the
pick trade, right?
That's why I think they do this.
I think Matisse Thybulle is going to be your fifth starter next year.
I don't.
I hate to say it because I don't like it at all.
I know you don't.
But I think that's going to be the play.
I don't think they run it back that way. I think they try to find a fifth starter.
Okay.
I think they might try to keep it with the four, but Thybulle will be the one to go. Danny Green's not going to be ready. He's out of the equation. They'll find something else. They'll find a way.
Well, that's just an absorption of money, right? If you trade Danny Green.
Yeah. Someone who would feel comfortable paying him while he sits. And then you can probably trade him again during the trade deadline for another team.
If he's healthy.
You know, yeah, if they feel like going that route, however they want to do it. If they want to pick up his option, you have until June 30th to pick up his option. It's a team option, not a player option. $10 million for Danny Green. Going to be out with the ACL and the LCL for the start of the season. While he rehabs things there, you can, though, while he's still there, move him in a deal with his $10 million number, but you have to pick it up, and that team knows that you have to pick it up. They're okay absorbing that and doing whatever they feel is necessary once the season gets underway with Danny Green. So there are a variety of ways for them to go and and look at this. What would you guys do, and what do you think they will do with the 23rd pick? What should they do? What do you think they will do? Or what would you want them to do? What would you want them to do? 610-632-0975. Mark, hang on. We come right back. We'll start with you and get your thoughts. We'll play Family Game Night, NBA Finals Trivia with you as things get underway on Thursday night. Golden State and the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about it all. 610-632-0975. Pick number 23 goes back to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Brooklyn Nets defer it. Goes back to Philadelphia. They have the 23rd overall selection in the June's draft here in a couple of weeks. What should the Sixers do with it? What will they do with it? What do you want them to do with it? We'll talk about it as we go along, keeping the conversation going with the Phillies and Bryce Harper, Joel Embiid as well, while we play Family Game Night on this Wednesday, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.729, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Family Game Night with you as we talk about the Sixers getting the 23rd overall pick. We've been discussing the Phillies as well. Right now up 2-0 with 2 on and 2 out in the, fourth inning. So we'll see what the Phillies do with some possible run support for Aaron Nola.
What is this?
Run support.
What is this, a lead?
A lead is what it is, Tyler. A lead is what it is. And before we get to the phones, you also put up a poll on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes.
So what would that be, my man?
Yeah, so the question is, off of what we were talking about in the last segment, now that the Nets have deferred the pick, the 23rd overall pick in this year's NBA draft, what do you want to do with the 23rd pick? Let me rephrase that. What will the Sixers do with the 23rd pick? Your options are keep the drafted player or trade that player for a vet. And so far, early in the returns, 61% say that they will trade that player for a vet. 39% say they will keep the drafted player.
Yep, I'm with the consensus there. They will add a veteran player to the starting lineup. And again, a veteran could just simply be 4 years in the league, but 23 years of age, right? Experience.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you get a player that's 18 or 19 years old when they enter the league, they're a vet by 22, 23. Like, we think about Devin Booker. I feel like he's 40.
And he's only 25.
And he's 25?
Yeah.
He's been in the league for, what, 7 seasons now, or 6 seasons?
25, I don't know. But, yeah, he's young.
You know, and that's like, obviously, the big threshold because he's been a star for the last couple of seasons specifically. Mm-hmm. But you can get a guy who's been in the league since they were 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
They're a vet at 24, 23, 24 years old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think they go the vet route. What would you guys want them to do? And what would you think they will do with that 23rd overall selection? Also talking Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid, just off of this thing that we saw, the best player in the city. Had it going to Bryce Harper. I said it was Joel Embiid. Tyler said slight edge to Bryce Harper. A lot of it having to do with the two MVP awards and most certainly the one that he won last season. What would you guys say to that as we play Family Game Night as well? Real fast, some tough news, man. Sad news. And I like this guy, too, even though I did not like the football team, and I do not. I like this player, Marion Barber, found dead in his apartment. In his apartment.
Yeah, 38 years old.
38 years of age.
It's terrible.
Wow, I didn't open this story. Clarence Hill has a story, but yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. And we keep seeing this with, like, different players, too. Yeah. Frisco PD performed a welfare check at his apartment and said the, passed away in his apartment. He was tough, man. He was a hard runner. Hard runner.
You hate to say it, like, rooting for a cowboy, but, man, he was so much fun to watch.
He was.
He was just hard-nosed. He'd punch you in the mouth and keep going. He was fun to watch. You remember the one run? I think it was against maybe the Giants. And he ran around, dip, dive, dodge, ran a dude over, and it was like the most exciting 2-yard run I've ever seen. He ended up getting 2 yards on the run.
I'm watching
It was wild.
I'm watching this one against the Patriots where he had his back towards the end zone. And this might be it. This is the 2-run yard.
Oh, man, it was the Patriots.
It was
okay.
The Patriots. They could have got him for safety. They had him wrapped up. They couldn't bring him down. Vince Wilfork, Junior Seau, all these names. And he gets to about the 9-yard line. He gets, you know, so.
He was like 8 yards deep.
That's right.
In the end zone.
That's right. So 38 years of age, and they say right now, unknown as the cause of death, but found in his apartment, passed away at 38 years of age.
Yeah, terrible.
Tough news. Tough news. Okay, let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. We go to Camden with Mark here on 97.5. Mark, what's up?
I know in the bond basketball religion where I'm from, brother.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hey, listen, first of all, the Sixers going to, what they're going to do is mess up the pick. That's what they're going to do. Second of all, I'm going to give you two guys they should go for. One, I would trade Thibault to Phoenix, and maybe somebody else can get Johnson. That's one.
Cam Johnson.
Or,
Cam Johnson.
Yeah. Or, it's clearly Utah's clearing our house. I'm bringing Clarkson to the Sixers. Clarkson will fit perfect for the Sixers.
Yes, he would. Coming off the bench and scoring, and now there's some stuff out there about Quinn Snyder possibly not returning for a ninth season.
They're clearly going to blow up that team. I mean, they're talking about trading Mitchell and all that. They're clearly blowing up the team.
Yep.
So I can see Clarkson here, and he could be a starter here. He only had to come off the bench.
I would like for him to come off the bench.
Yeah, I got you, but we talk about Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
So it's like that, you know, for me, I'm not drafting no more young guys. You got a 3-year window, possibly 4. You got to go for it, man. You can't, you know, if you want to go young, you want to go those type of guys like Johnson, Clarkson. You don't want to go too young where they in the develop, you know what I mean, the G League and all that. You can't afford that right now. You already got G League guys on the bench. You know, Springer and Reed. Yeah, and all them guys, you got those guys. You develop those dudes. But you need to go for the Clarksons, Johnsons, like you said, my man from Orlando. They didn't do situations like that. And I still think Thibault is still a commodity you could trade. You know, people still, you know, banking on this defense. I can see Phoenix, you know, doing that. They need a defensive guy to help them to get over that hump.
Well, I know that they like Cam Johnson there. They have to pay Cam Johnson, and I wonder if he's the eventual replacement for Jay Crowder in that starting lineup once Crowder, who has 1 year, I think 1 year left on his deal, is done with the Phoenix Suns if they move on from him. So that's where the Johnson part, good name, but I wonder if they decide to hold on to him because they're going to pay him before next season. Good name, though, right, and a good idea just because he is a guy who's played now 3 seasons in the NBA, and he has a lot of experience, playoff experience now, too. And that's a really good name, and he can shoot. So that would be ideal for the Sixers roster.
So, Maury, listen to us. They're the two guys you need to get, Maury.
All right, man, you ready to play NBA Finals Trivia?
Sure, sure.
All right, family game night, NBA Finals Trivia.
All right, Mark. Mark, here's your question. All right, so we're going to talk about the NBA Finals losses by individual players. So of the top 10 most NBA Finals losses of all time, 9 of them have L.A. Lakers ties. Ah, we lost them.
Ah, Mark.
We'll save the question.
Mark, call back. That was my fault. I actually hit the button accidentally. And Mark, call back, and we'll get you right back on and get you to answer the question. And again, the Cam Johnson part is just a little bit tough, man, just because I do believe that they will try to extend Cam Johnson. I don't know anything. I'm just saying, speculating, because he's young. He's already done some things and some production in the league. I just think that they'll try to keep Cam Johnson to eventually take over for Jay Crowder in that starting lineup with what Johnson is able to do. All right, Mark is back. Mark, I apologize. Let's get you back up here. And Tyler, go ahead. Run that music and get the question
now,
back
Mark,
up here.
We'll get to this question. We're going to go to the NBA Finals losses by individual player. Of the top 10, 9 of those 10 players have Los Angeles Lakers ties to some extent, including number 1, LeBron James, who has lost the most games in NBA Finals history at 33. The only one that does not have Lakers ties in any way is sixth on the list all time with 21 losses. Of the top 10, who is the only non-Laker in the top losses of all time?
So that means I could pick any team or
it
has to be a
Laker
team?
No, no, no. So this player was not ever on the Lakers.
How many losses was it?
21. 21 for this player.
21 losses for this player in the finals.
Correct.
Wow.
Oh, God. I'm talking about the top. God darn it. That's a good...
Give him a hint. East or West?
Eastern Conference.
Wow.
Eastern Conference.
Old school or new kind of middle school?
I would go middle school, but like closer to the beginning of middle school. I will give you one final hint.
In the 90s.
It's the squad that you would think of.
In the 90s. Eastern Conference.
Is it Danny Ainge?
It is Danny Ainge.
Great pull, Mark. Great pull. Danny Ainge. Of course you had to go Boston. You just had to figure out the player.
Yeah, I knew it was Boston. And they had that many championships.
And he played with the Phoenix Suns. If you remember, right. They lost the series to Michael Jordan and the Bulls that year. He's been in the finals quite a few times, man. Mark, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
You got it, man. That was a great pull.
It's a great pull.
So who are the other names?
All right, so first is LeBron with 33. His record is 22-33. All time in the NBA Finals.
That's a lot of games in the finals.
55 finals appearances, or 55 finals games.
Wow.
Second, Jerry West, 29. Kareem is third, 27. Magic, fourth, 26. Michael Cooper is fifth at 23. And you got Danny Ainge, sixth at 21. Elgin Baylor has 20. Derek Fisher and Wilt are tied for 19. Then you've got James Worthy at 18.
All Lakers.
It makes sense. They've been in the finals so frequently.
Yeah.
Makes sense that it's the Lakers and then a Celtics player.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Wow. Okay. That's a good pull. Danny Ainge.
Who's not too far off from the 18 mark of the top 10?
Still a Laker?
No, not a Laker, period. A teammate of LeBron.
Kyrie?
J.R. Smith.
Really?
Yeah, 16 finals games lost.
Interesting. Huh, I'm thinking because you're saying this, and Kyrie was there for all of them.
No. Not all the Cavs ones. Not 07.
No, he left, you're right.
Because remember, they win a game that series, or they get swept?
They won one. They
won?
Are you talking about?
07.
07 was, J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith wasn't there. That's what I'm saying is,
yeah,
that's where the LeBron ones.
In that one.
Right, so that's four right there.
Okay.
Then you've got...
But I'm thinking the Smiths versus Kyrie, both with Cleveland. Now I'm thinking...
Was J.R. Smith with the Was he with the Lakers team at all?
You know what? He was with the Lakers.
Was he with the Lakers team that won the title that year?
Yeah, he was.
So that's two,
I think,
right?
He was on the bench for that one.
That's because they lost two to the Heat?
He just didn't play.
Right.
But they won. They won the championship, but I think he played on that. Did he play on that team? I know they picked up some guys just for the bubble, but did he play on that team?
He did. 2019-2020.
Yeah, Deion
Wade. He played six games.
Okay.
Well, no, that wouldn't make sense because 2018-2019 was the bubble season. Right? Because 2019 was March. It was March of 2019 that it shut down and the finals were in August or July or whatever it was.
No, I thought it was 2020.
No, I don't think so. No? Right?
Okay. All right.
Because the world shut down in March of 2019.
Yeah. March 11th, the Sixers were playing that night, and then the league shut down that night.
Yes.
March 11th.
Right.
Yeah, that was 2019.
2019. So it had to be the summer of 2019.
Summer of 2019.
Because the 19-20 season was shortened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right?
No, because I tore my ACL in 2019. Tore my ACL in May of 2019.
Yeah, so that's right. So the 1920 season was...
You said 18-19. I'm saying it's 1920 season.
1920 season was what? The bubble?
Yeah.
I don't think it couldn't have been.
Wasn't it? I tore my knee in 19. Everything was fine.
So 21-22 Sixers lose to the Heat this past year. Mm-hmm. 2021, shortened season, they lose to the Hawks.
Right.
19-20 is when they lost to
the Celtics.
Boston. So you would be right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year before.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It was in 1920.
Okay. So then if it was 1920, he did play six games. I don't know if they were. I mean, I guess he was on the team at some point. Maybe they count.
Mm. Wow.
A lot of deep dive into J.R. Smith's career here.
Yeah, now I'm thinking back to when I actually tore my knee, making sure I had my dates right. So 610-632-0975. J.R. Smith. Wow. He played in that many finals games? Wow. All right, let's get back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Remarkable Flow on Twitter says, Morey is an overrated exec. He can't find a player that can contribute in a limited capacity at 23. Is that asking too much? Our last first-round pick was practically a blue coat all year. Well, he was. He was. That's what we're talking about. So right there, you're just simply hoping that Springer can give you something next season. Aren't you? Because it's a body, 6'4", physical player, young.
I'm not expecting anything from him.
And that's tough.
It's not his fault.
No.
There's just been no development.
It's tough. Especially, again, when you talk about Herb Jones with the Pelicans doing what he did for a playoff team. That's tough. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight. 9:45, The Leftovers with Tyler Zulli. Family game night as well. NBA Finals trivia. Tyler Zulli, the game show host as well, doing triple duty here on 97.5. The Fanatic. Joe in West Philly with us here tonight. Joe.
Hey, what's up, Devon, Tyler?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, this is my feeling about the Sixers. I think I would take that first round pick and try to, you know what I mean, put it with Tobias or Thibault or something in a trade. Man, I think the Sixers is just a mix and matches away from, you know what I mean, being in the finals. I feel as though that I feel like him and Embiid do the same type of things, mid-range, you know what I mean, not the most athletic, mid-range guys, you know what I mean, little post-up games and all that. I think more like looking for a run-out partner with Maxey, somebody to run the floor with him, because there's nobody can run the floor with him. I mean, Thibault's not a good enough scorer to run the floor with them. Yeah, I think the Sixers need subtle moves. I don't really think they need a superstar. Maybe two guys in that lineup who can contribute certain things, rebounding, a pure dead-eye shooter, something like that. I don't think you have to really go out there and trade for another superstar. Like the finals now, I mean, Golden State had the player they drafted. No, I know how good they are or whatever, but it's still the player they drafted and the little decisions they made around. They got Kevin Durant. That was years ago. He's gone. And they're back in the finals because of Jordan Poole and these guys they found, a little mix and match. The Sixers, they have a problem. It's too many visions. First division was Sam Hinkie. Then it went to, what's the guy with the tie? It was him. And then it went to Elton Brand. Then it went to Colangelo, then Elton Brand. Then you said Coach Brown was in charge. And now it's DeMori. I mean, the Sixers had like five different visions in the last 4 years. I mean, with the most important players they've had. And I just think they're specialist-type players away. Maybe a dead-eye shooter to start lineup. Maybe a rebounder. For me, Harden, Maxey, and Embiid are the core right now. And, I mean, I think the filling two players around them, I don't think it really has to be a super special player. Maybe a wing player who can
run. No, that's why we said we gave the example of, and look, we were just giving an example. We don't know that this to be true, that Gary Harris, let's say, we said Gary Harris, like 6'4", 6'5", right, type of wing player. A little older, not as young as maybe you would like, but some experience, has playoff experience, can knock down an outside shot, and you know he can defend on the other end as well, where he would be your number one defender on whatever wing player that, Devin Booker's coming into town. you got to put him on Devin Booker and get things started right there. So that, as you said, not a special player, but a player that can contribute and still give you maybe 30 minutes a night and do some positive things in helping you win a basketball game.
But he wouldn't be a starter, would he?
Well, I just gave an example. I would say he would.
I'm just saying,
let's say Gary Harris started.
That type of player. If he was like 6'8". Is he going to 6'8", Gary Harris out there, 6'7"?
Well, yeah, you know, there are a lot of those guys out there. It's just a matter of are they available. There are always wings out there that are available. Yeah. So which one comes in and fits right in? Ideally, you want that bigger player, but just using that as to your point of not a star, who knows what's available. He's a free agent. Do you do something like that, sign and trade, and bring that type of guy in?
Yeah, and I think the teams are learning now is more like putting the puzzle together, mixing and matching, instead of grabbing superstars and he trying to grab dream teams and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I think that era is running its course now and is getting back to what it was. You know what I mean? Jalen Brown, you know, my other man for Boston, guys that they drafted. You know what I mean? Nice trades they're making, players that they're developing. And I mean, I think we've been in a row these last couple of years, you know, going searching for superstars and all that kind of stuff. I think we got a nice core between Maxie and Bede. And, I mean, Maxie
Harden and Embiid.
Yes. I mean, yeah. And I just think, I mean, I would like to get, if we traded, I'd like to get one solid starter at least. One solid starter at that three or four position. You know what I mean?
I got you. I understand that, man. And I want a nice wing to come in with some athleticism, ideally, for this team. And they desperately need that, Joe.
Maxie needs a running mate. Maxie needs somebody to run the floor with.
100%. 100%. Somebody didn't keep up with him. All right, man. Yeah. Joe, you ready for a question, NBA trivia?
Yes, sir.
Finals trivia.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Callers, you guys up 1-0 right now after a great poll by Mark on the Danny Ainge question.
Danny Ainge.
Here is your question. There are 6 NBA franchises that have currently never appeared in the NBA Finals. I need you to give me 3 of them.
The Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies, Washington Bullets, or I mean Washington Wizards.
They have a win as the Bullets back in, I think, 78 or 79.
Yeah,
Memphis
exactly.
Was correct.
Yeah.
All right, so Devon, you've got 5 more. I need 3 from you out of those 5.
I'll stay with Memphis.
Can't give me Memphis. You already gave me that one.
All right, Charlotte.
Okay.
Sacramento.
No, they have an appearance as the wherever the Kings were before that, St. Louis, I think.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry. Actually, they have one as the Rochester Royals.
All right. We're counting that.
Here are the 6.
All right.
As Joe said, Memphis is correct. The Charlotte Hornets, the Denver Nuggets, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. So I knew, obviously, thanks. Hey, Joe, always great, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
You got it, man. Thank you. So obviously I knew Minnesota. I was trying to think of something that was still like, it's like SAC.
But yeah, they go with the Royals. Sacramento, 1951.
Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks. That's 71 years ago. Like, I know that they have not appeared as the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
But they technically, in their franchise history, do have a claim to
fair enough
one finals appearance.
Fair enough.
Much like the Washington Capitals, who folded the year after, the Chicago Stags, who folded the year prior. so some of those teams who are not teams anymore are on that list as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And I got to take that one. All right, I'm disappointed in myself. I was going with Sac.
By the way, Washington's been there 4 times.
But I knew they were there. And
it was 78 they won, by the way.
Yeah, Wes Unseld. So I knew that one. Darn it, because I was definitely going to go Minnesota. If you were giving me Memphis, I was going Memphis, Charlotte. Sac, if not Sac, Minnesota, but Sac.
Yeah, I can't give you the one that Mark or that Joe already gave us.
All right, fair enough. That's fine. All right. 610-632-0975.
Just a 1-point lead right now.
That's okay.
You're good.
That's okay. We'll keep it going on the other side again. 610-632-0975. Talking the Sixers 23rd overall pick. They have it now, and Brooklyn has deferred that back to the 76ers. Phillies, we were discussing them as well and what their issues are. Terrible, terrible that they're 13 games back of the right now division-leading New York Mets and 9 games under 500. And also we got into a little Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid, the best player in the city. Who is it? Who is it? The thing that we saw had Bryce Harper. I said it was Embiid. Tyler gave the slight edge to Harper. No wrong answer. No wrong answer. Just curious of what you all think. It's family game night, and we're doing NBA Finals trivia on this family game night tonight with you until 10, 9:45 leftovers with Tyler Zuli right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Hey, 97.5 The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975 with you until 10 o'clock as we discuss the Phillies, Sixers, 23rd overall selection coming back to them. And just throwing around something we saw as well yesterday, where we started to ask the question about Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid. My man Amir Young checks in. Good Beard Day CEO. He has some great stuff there. Check him out at Amir Young on Twitter. Says Bryce Harper is not a better player than Joel Embiid. That dude chokes in almost every big series, including last year versus the Braves when he went 0-for-11. Embiid carries his team to the playoffs yearly. So, he was the MVP, though, deserving of it. And he has had some tough series from time to time. I have Embiid. And there are arguments for both sides. And as we were talking about the Phillies up 2-0, we then turn around.
I hate this team.
And they're down 5-2.
I hate this team.
Is that
so
Aaron
much.
Nola on the
yep.
mound? Okay. So, folks, you just saw, what was it, 3-run shot?
Yep.
Give us a call. Give us a call. Tyler just said he hates this team for that reason. And if they lose this one, this will be their second consecutive series sweep and sixth loss in a row.
I have never seen a pitcher.
What's the problem?
I have never, ever, ever seen a pitcher who has plus stuff through 4 innings, through 5 innings, and then whatever the case may be, whatever inning that is the detrimental inning, to have such a cataclysmic meltdown in one particular inning. Like, I have never seen a guy have a stat line so consistently of first 5 innings, 1 hit, 6th inning, 4 hits, 5 runs. I don't know if third time through the lineup guy, and if that's the case, then are we looking at an Aaron Nola that's destined for the bullpen? Because I don't believe so, but I don't know. Is he a guy that when he gets to a certain amount of pitches, that's it? I don't get it. I would like to do almost like a psychological survey on Aaron Nola the third time through the lineup.
What type of pitch was it?
Home run ball? I didn't see what it was. But, you know, here's the thing one of the things with Nola that we talked a lot about in spring training for, and people gave me a lot of flack for it on Twitter. I was sitting here, people were speaking about, man, look at the run on his two-seam. Look how much he's backing it up to left-handed hitters. And I said, yes, that's great. There's a lot of movement on that pitch. But if you're backing it up over the heart of the plate, it's called a home run. So you have to be able to spot that pitch too, and I think far too often he doesn't spot correctly. And I don't mean in terms of like missed location. I mean start this pitch on the hands and back it to the inner third, not start it on the inner third and have it run back to the middle of the plate.
Okay.
I don't get it.
All right. So I have to ask then. You know what's next. You know what's going to come next.
I don't know if he survives another game. Are you talking about Girardi?
Yes.
I don't know if he survives anything past tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Again.
Tomorrow's Thursday, so they're off.
So yeah, I am not sure if he, at this point, I've been saying for a while, I don't think he gets fired till the end of the year. I am not sure at this point, if they lose this game, if he is the manager of the team when the Angels come to town on Friday.
Mm. Do they give him through the weekend?
Maybe.
If I had to say, just to answer the question, himself. Is he here through the weekend, through the end of the game Sunday?
If he's here on Friday, he's here through Sunday. He'll get fired Sunday night. Assuming they don't win, you know, all three games.
One and two. They drop two of three.
He'll be fired before the game on Monday.
Mm.
Yeah, I believe that at this point.
Mm. All right, 610-632-0975.
And by the way, that pitch was not Joe Girardi's fault. That pitch is Aaron Nola's fault.
Right.
But
how many pitches is he up to?
I don't know. The number's so small in the bug anymore, I can't quite even
see
it. All
right, but go ahead. Keep going. Well, anyway, you do that. 610-632-0975. Let me see how many pitches Aaron Nola is through tonight. This is, this is tough. 2-0 lead, maybe they can hang on. 2-0 lead, and here we are. Here we are once again with the Phillies doing what the Phillies do. So right now, Aaron Nola threw all five hits, five earned runs, four strikeouts, threw five and a third, and he is, let me see where he is right now, currently trying to see. They get out of the inning? No, there's just one, two outs now. He is 85 pitches in, top of the sixth. He's not coming back out. So, 85 pitches in. 87.
So, I have a theory or a question with him. And I wonder if it's going to mess with him or if it messes with the team in general. If they had somebody out of the bullpen, which they don't right now, that you could trust for the first two innings of the game.
First two innings.
I'm going to go back to the opener theory.
Yeah.
If that pitcher, let's say they gave me an inning I would prefer Aaron Nola to start a fresh inning. If they can get me a guy who can give me two to begin the game, clean innings, one and two, you feel more comfortable with Nola, quote, coming out of the bullpen and pitching innings three through seven?
Because you feel like he'll give you a good four.
Yeah. Instead
to your point of the second, third time around.
Correct. Instead of front loading his innings.
Wait a second. Oh, okay.
So instead of front loading his innings and having him go one through four and then trying to figure out what the heck you're going to do for five through nine, if you can give me a consistent guy who's going to be the opener every night, and I know people hate the opener, but if you can give me a guy who's going to give me innings one and two, get through the barrels of the lineup, and then he can pitch me innings three through seven, then I'm figuring out 16 outs still, but I'm scattering those 16 outs from, instead of being backloaded from one and two to eight and nine.
Okay, so this would be a specialty situation with Nola coming out of the bullpen, jumping in, third inning, through seven, then you get to your relief. I mean, my goodness, man, we can't have junk. Can't be out there having this type of junk, having to do all this kind of crazy stuff. Can't. He gets out of the inning. Mid-six now. He gets out of the inning. With a strikeout. My goodness, this team. Goodness gracious. Bottom of the sixth. Coming up for the Phillies. Would I do that? I don't want to do junk. I don't want to junk. I understand it. It already stinks. They are who they are. This is what they are. You know, this whole thing. They're an average baseball team. And you have to do something. As we started with the top of the show, you have to do something. But is that what we now resort to? Do we resort to that? Where you have to junk up the game just because a guy can come in and give you two innings to start? Bailey, Bailey Falter comes in and gives you the first two.
Nah, innings. He's not. That's what I'm saying. They don't have the guy.
I'm just saying. Just using that as an example, just as a name. Bailey Falter comes in, gives you innings one and two, and then he gets through those two. Aaron Nola comes in 3-7. I don't want to do that. Is that what we've come to? That we have to do that?
I don't.
Come on.
Much like I said with James Harden when it came to scoring points or facilitating and play creation, I don't care. I really do not care how you get 27 outs in a particular game. Now, I understand that it's a little bit different than an NBA game because pitchers' arms are fatigued at a way that an NBA, you know, like the NBA players are all going to get back out on the floor unless it's a rest day the following game, right?
Right, right.
Pitchers' arms are a little bit different where you have to think about not just the next game, but the next three, and they might be 1, 2, 3, 4 days instead of day on, day off, day on, day off. But in the grand scheme of a single game, I don't care how the 27 outs are recorded. I just need them to be recorded. And I know that you use the phrase junk it up. I don't think it's junking it up. I think it's expediting what you have and using your tools at their disposal to get you those 27 outs. Get you the first 21.
You got to do whatever you need to do. Something has to happen. That's something that would have to happen for them to get some wins and have some good starts, which would basically be that's a big thing of water.
Why is he drinking it out of mason jar?
Maybe they mix it up a certain way. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe because of the heat and there's something in it. I don't know. Man.
Pickle juice. That's where you got
to
go.
That's where you have to go.
It's proven.
If they did it, I would say, all right, this is what they're resorting to. But to your point, you hate this team because of stuff. And for that, that would be another reason to hate this team because you can't just simply do a traditional starter for this baseball team in your rotation, especially one that was looked to be a future two for years,
sure.
All-star-like player, and now we have to use him in this way.
And by the
awful,
way,
awful,
he
awful,
was
awful.
Very, very good in his previous start. Very good. Thought he had good life to his fastball, thought his changeup looked good, and I think he either went 7 or 8 and only gave up one run. He was very, very good. Mm-hmm. We just had a caller call me, didn't get a chance to hang on, say every time he pitches an outing like that, the following outing is a struggle. And it got me thinking.
Following outing for Nola?
For Nola specifically.
Okay.
Got me thinking.
So 5 days.
Do you have to go a 6th day before he gets the next start? And if you do that, then I'm going to use your phrase, you're junking up your starting rotation, not just one game.
All right. Okay. Let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Also, family game night. NBA Finals trivia as well being played tonight. Roger in Southwest Philly. What's up, Raj?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Devon?
Good, man. How are you with your Boston Celtics getting ready to get after it?
Yeah, well, and it kind of want to make a couple of points here if I could. I didn't expect to get on so fast. So I'm going to start this out with a question because I've talked to a couple of your other hosts about this where I've been poo-pooed and they have told me it's coincidence. But so I'm going to ask you the question. Name the last time that a team won the championship where the center was the best player on it. Far back, you got to go.
Yeah, Hakeem Olajuwon.
I would probably say Shaq, Miami because Dwayne Wade was the best player.
Yeah, because Shaq with the Lakers.
Dirk is not a center.
Shaq with the Lakers in 2000 with Kobe 2001, 2003.
Right.
Yeah.
So now it's been 20. It's been over 20 years. I don't think this is a coincidence. Okay, you have two dominant centers in the league, and no other team has what you would call a dominant center. Look at the two teams that are in the finals. Neither one of these teams have centers that you would confuse with Wilt and Kareem. So I look at the Sixers from the outsider's perspective. What don't they have that these two teams have? They do not have in a wing and guard-driven league. They don't have athletic wings.
No.
And they don't have athletic guards. outside of possibly Maxey. And if you want to give me Thibault, yeah, but on offense, you're hamstrung. You're hamstrung on offense.
I agree.
So, and they don't have very much money because they're probably most likely going to be saddled with the $47.5 million albatross known as James Harden. However, with that in mind, I'll throw out a name as a start, and I want to know what you think of this, and I want to know what you think of this player, and if there's time, I want to get your opinion on the finals. But what do you think of Bobby Portis?
I like him.
I like what he brings. He brings toughness.
Yeah. I like Bobby Portis a lot.
To me, one of the things the other Sixers lack is toughness. It's a team full of nice guys.
Yes.
Every team, I think, needs a guy or two that's maybe not so nice. You know, I'm not saying that you want him to, you know, start, you know, hitting guys in the locker room. Like, you know, I'm not saying that you want him to do what he did with Mirotić, although Mirotić really started that garbage. But, you know, I look at a guy like Bobby Portis and he gives you rebounding. He defends well. He's got a little bit of a game. He can shoot it a little bit. He can rebound.
Yeah,
I think you could do worse than Bobby Portis. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing they have to do, but I think it would be a start for them.
I would like Bobby Portis. I would like to continue to bring him off the bench and still give you something else in the starting lineup. But Bobby Portis would be ideal. He likes it in Milwaukee. They love him in Milwaukee. I don't see him leaving. He only signed a 2-year deal, I believe it was.
Well, he did decline his option.
Did he already decline it?
Yeah, I just read it.
He's going to decline his player option. So he feels like he's going to get a boost in pay. And I wonder in this boost in pay if the Sixers have enough to give him what he would be looking for. I would love Bobby Portis.
And that would be a start. And real quick on the finals, what do you think? I think though the Warriors are the favorite, I think the Celtics got a shot in this because I'll be very interested to see what are the Warriors' actions going to be like when they have not played a team that plays defense like this. And there's going to be points in this series where Golden State is going to be made to feel very uncomfortable playing offense.
Well, I'm a Warriors fan for the next 2 weeks.
Of course you are.
But
that's cool.
But I have the Celtics in six. Just because the Gary Payton, Otto Porter, Andre Iguodala, still not, you know, they're still questionable of if they're going to play. And I don't know that they can. I think with the defense that the Celtics play, with you guys play, and the way that the wings are able to play right now, I'm not sure. Now, I could be wrong because I didn't even think Golden State was going to get to the finals. I thought that they would get knocked off in the second round. And when they had Kevon Looney to play in the way that Kevon Looney was, and they just had the pedigree of what they have, I counted Golden State out already. And I wanted them to win and get there once Phoenix was out.
Right.
And here they are. And I didn't expect them to be able to play against Dallas, Kevon Looney, and what they've been doing.
Sure.
And Porter goes down, Payton goes down, and they're still able to bring in and have Nemanja Bjelica come in for the last game and play good minutes, and then also bringing in Moses Moody and doing what they're doing. So that being said, I have the Celtics in six. I hate to say it because of the defense and the offense that you guys play as well.
And your opinion of my assertion about the center having 20 years of data. As unique a talent as Joel is, and I'm not trying to poop all over him, okay? I think him and Jokic are fantastic talents. But I just don't think the way the league plays, and you look at the teams that are really good, none of the teams that are really good have the quote-unquote dominant center on the horizon. And I do not think that that is coincidence.
Well, listen, Raj, thanks for the call, man. Really, real fast, what do you think? What do you make of your team? Do you think you guys win, or be real? I was just real with you. Be real.
I got the Celtics in six, but if this goes seven, as good as they've been on the road, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I can't see them.
That's not Miami.
In that building.
Yeah, those guys won't give up. That's not Miami.
Yeah, they're not Miami. And the one thing the Celtics are going to have to do in this series, they're going to have to score. I don't think they're going to win too many games, 196. This is going to be a little bit more of a free-flowing series.
100%.
Having said that, I think
Golden State is going to be made to feel uncomfortable. How uncomfortable can the Celtics make them feel?
If there's one team that I think can respond, it would be Golden State because of their pedigree and their experience. So, Raj, good stuff, man. I'm sure we'll be talking, man. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Devon.
Always.
And listen, I hope you get that afternoon spot. I think you and Tyrone would be a great combination.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Raj. Talk to you. Really appreciate it. As far as the big man goes in today's game, and you know what? Let's address that on the other side because we do have to get to a break. So I'll address that on the other side, get Tyler's thoughts as well. It's a bigger debate that I tell you all the time that I have. And I know Brian has talked about this on the air, Brian Westbrook. But he and I talk about this off the air a lot between me, him, and Michael Bradley. We talk about this a lot. And between those two, they believe, again, the big man is tough to win in the league. Like that. My belief has been, surround him with the right people, you'll win. The best chance that they had in surrounding with the right people, the Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick squad, and even last season, they had a very good chance. And I think they would have done a really good job against the Milwaukee Bucks. Would they have won it? I don't know. How did it happen? We would have addressed it. How did it happen when they got there? But as far as winning with a big man, I'll address it on the other side to answer Raj's question. 610-632-0975. We didn't give Raj a question, so we'll have to run it back when we get back on the other side. Tyler can just give us one, and we'll go from there. Again, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. I'll answer that question on the other side. Can you win with a big man in today's NBA? We'll discuss it next right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Tyler, what happened? I run down the hall. Had the run to the facilities. Come back. Phillies were down by one after a Maton home run, correct?
Yes,
While we were on the air, and then what happened? Get another one?
Schwarber went yard.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So now we'll see what happens. How do they get the last nine outs?
It's always a challenge for this baseball team.
This is a freaking circus, this team.
Go to the extra innings again?
If they go to extras again, I would have to look it up. When the last time, it's probably not terribly long ago, but when the last time a team not only went to extras four consecutive games, if they lose, I'd love to know when the last time a team lost four consecutive extra inning games.
That would be something. An amazing team, they are. An amazing team.
What's that old saying? Every time I think I'm out, They pull me right back in.
610-632-0975.
But that's the problem is, you know, I won't be out. They'll be 30 games out at first, and I'll be like, oh, you going to the Phils game today, right?
Yeah. Now they have to make a pitching change.
Player manager Bryce Harper will be calling the shots, and I'll be down at Citizens Bank Park.
Yes, you will be this weekend, checking out the boys. No question about it. No question about it. As far as Roger's question, Southwest Philly asked about the center position and can you win with the center in today's NBA? And I say yes, because Embiid and Jokic are two special centers. They are special. They're not just the best centers in the NBA. They are special players. And with, I don't need to go into who they are as players because we both know who they are as players. Two-time MVP for Nikola Jokic and two-time runner-up Joel Embiid behind Jokic in both years. They are special. If the team surrounds them with the right pieces, you can get it done. Now, when you get there, there may be something that you have to change with the style of play that you're playing against the team from that's representing the West with Embiid, but maybe not. Maybe you go in there and you just flat out just going to destroy the center who they have trying to guard me. Let's say it is the Golden State Warriors and he's going against Kevon Looney. He's going to get Kevon Looney in foul trouble. Then Draymond Green is going to try his hand. Draymond Green will play him smartly. He doesn't want a double team, but in the end, eventually they're going to have to. So it's about, and this is what we've always talked about. Yes, Embiid would be a problem for certain things when it comes to Sixer fans or even basketball fans in general with why they won't win. But if you surround them with the right pieces, like any other sport, surround a star player with the right pieces. Michael Jordan needed the right pieces. Stephen Curry has the right pieces. LeBron James, as good as he is, you still have to build a team the right pieces. If the right pieces are around Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, because those are the only two centers I'm going with, to answer Roger's question, I believe you can win with the center as your best player. The center, though, and I think Jokic has this in him, and is part of what we want to see a little bit more from Embiid, is his ability to let the others do their thing and just the maturity in a spot like that. If he's going to be the best player and they're throwing these triple teams at him, we know he has to pass the ball out of the double and triple teams. He has to be smart about it and not get frustrated. He has to be mature about it and not get frustrated, where then, while he may not be losing by missing and going 6-for-24 in a game, but he's losing because he's allowing the frustration of, number one, him not scoring 30 points or being the leading scorer, but also knowing you can win in another way because you're passing the basketball, and that's how the team has to win. When we hear all the time, I just have to do what I can to help our team win, or to help my team win, is what he says a lot of times, and it is his team. You have to adjust to what it is. And if he can adjust to what it is, where those triple teams are going to come from any Western Conference team in the NBA Finals, if Embiid is there with his squad, then yes, they can win. Yes, you can win with Nikola Jokic because he does play that way. His issue is defensively, where he might be a turnstile against another more fleet of foot type of center, with how they use their team and their lineup going against Jokic in an NBA Finals might be a problem. But can you win with a center in today's NBA? I say yes. I go back to the 18-19 season with Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick as part of the team. Should have won. Should have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals. We always talk about Game 4 against Toronto in the second round. Should have won that game. They were up. Then Kawhi did that entire playoff run. He took over and scored enough points where they wound up winning the game. Then last season, we all know. Forget about what happened. We all know that the Sixers should have been in the Eastern Conference Finals last season. If they would have beaten...
From a comparable talent standpoint, absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
It was the easiest path they had ever had.
Yeah, and now look, they lost. Atlanta beat them, but it was also a lot of what the Sixers didn't do, all that.
Absolutely.
But they should have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. At worst, should have been in the Eastern Conference Finals, losing to the Milwaukee Bucks. But they would have played Milwaukee well, I think, and both teams would have been in that spot, tough spot for both, but the expectation was for both of them to get there, and who's going to prevail and get to the NBA Finals. Well, yes, I think you can win. Those were your best two chances. They failed at that. So we have already seen where there's been a good collection of talent. He has to remain healthy, like he wasn't in 18 and 19 for that playoff run in 19. And last season, he was healthy, but he turned the ball over in that last game. He missed a layup in game... Was it game 4 when the Hawks came back? I think he missed the layup in Atlanta in game 4 where he should have made it to tie it or win it. I can't remember, or give them the lead. But that's how you win. The right people around Embiid and Jokic, and I do think you can win with the center. Tyler, your thoughts quickly. They can win with a center in this league?
So I've spoken to Roger on this about this before as well, and I do believe that they can win with a center in this. You know, and when you say center in this league, you mean as the team's focal point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that you can. But I think in order to do that, you have to have, and this is going to sound really, really silly because we made fun of him for so long, but I think that you have to have the team around him that was the team that Brett Brown was trying to build when he gave us that stupid phrase, I'm trying to build bombers. And, you know, he was trying to, like, promote Furkan as a guy that was going to get some serious run in meaningful NBA minutes. Mm-hmm. And I know that we made fun of him a lot for it, but I think that that's the way that you go about it. But I absolutely believe that if you have a player of the caliber and skill set of Jokic and Embiid, they can absolutely be your focal point to win a championship. Has it happened recently? No. The expansion of even more three-point shooting than there's ever been, the expansion of wings and guards who are so athletic and have the ability to maneuver in space and without space to get to the rim and shoot. Do you have to be premier? Absolutely. And that's why you're correct. There's only two of those guys in the premier category,
that's
the
it.
Center.
Just two.
There's good centers. Ayton's a good center. Gobert's a good center. Towns a good center. Yeah. But the two premier centers are the only two that I would trust in that particular situation.
You can win. I think you can win.
But yes, I agree with you. I think that you can win with a center as the focal point.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 610-632-0975. So that's answering Roger's question. And good question. It's always a good discussion, a good question. I think it's tough. It's not going to be easy. Got to put the right pieces around to make sure that you can win with, again, the center in this league. It's not easy. Not easy at all. But that's why you build the team. That's why you do your job, to build the team. Put it together the right way, and you might be okay. Might be okay. Can Embiid get it done? That's what we're waiting for. That's exactly what we're waiting for. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Spider in South Philly joining us next here on this Wednesday night. What's up, Spider?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Nice to talk to you, bro.
You too, always.
And yeah, Dan, I didn't even know about Mike departing the station. I didn't even know nothing about that one.
Yeah, so yesterday he announced that it was his final day.
Man, that just came out of nowhere.
It did. Yeah, it did.
So, wow. Yep. And listen, I keep hearing people say, I hope you get that slot, bro. Listen, for your career, I hope you do get it. But for my ears and listening and talking pleasures, man, I would never had no time to really call you and listen to you in the daytime. But I do hope you
thank
get
you,
it,
man.
Though, man.
Appreciate
just
it.
For your career, good brother.
Thank
I
you.
Just be missing you, man.
Thank you, man.
But to get to the point at hand, Embiid is not our problem. Like you just now pointed out so elegantly, if the brother had some more talent around him, we would be making noise. But we don't have a good organization. We don't have no structure. Like, we have no system. You see how Golden State, let's just look at the teams that visit our Final Four. They get players to fit their system. We just go and grab guys, whatever we think is available. I mean, so
now look, they do have a vision when they get them. It just appears that they get it wrong when they decide on said player to be in that spot.
I don't see it that way. It just seems like do we have a system? Because I don't think we have a system. Like I don't think there's like no like Golden State have a system. They have a team. What's that? A team mentality. We don't have it. They just get on the floor and do whatever, man. So, and I think you're supposed to be an extension of your head coach. And that's what we look like at times, an extension of the head coach we have, because I don't think he knows what's going on all the time. And a lot of times in crucial moments when we need to perform, we looked like we didn't know what was going on in that floor. So if you get Embiid the right people around him, as every player needs to win a chip. Just, let me ask you a question. If you think if you took Steph Curry off that team and threw Embiid on that team, do you think they could win a chip?
With Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson?
With everything else they have, if you just took Steph off or Klay, either one, and put Embiid on.
I still think they'd be in a good spot to win, yes.
Championship team.
Yes.
If you threw Luka, if you threw him with Luka, with the team they had,
yes,
they could win a chip. You take Ayton off that team and put Embiid on that team, he would be the best player on that team. I could see a chip with them. Like, we just don't have the talent around the brother. And I'm tired of people keep blaming him. Yeah, he had these freak injuries and everything. But, man, listen, it ain't him, man. It's everything around him and the people in the front office and the dudes that sit in them coaching chairs that ain't getting the job done, man. That's my belief. And from what I see with my two eyes, man, I just don't see enough around the brother, man. And I hope we don't waste all these good years we got of a superstar.
Yep.
He's a superstar, man.
He is a superstar. He is definitely a superstar. Spiders, family game night on a Wednesday, not Thursday. Tyler's not here tomorrow, so we have to run our questions tonight.
All right.
So,
what's
NBA
good?
Finals, what, 1-0?
Yeah, still just 1-0.
Just 1-0, man. 1-0. All right, listeners.
All right, Spider, you guys up 1-0. Got a chance to double up that lead right now with this question. Okay. We just talked about the teams that have never made an appearance in the finals, but of the teams that have made appearances in the finals and have been to at least one, teams that are currently still active, which franchise has the longest championship drought?
Oh, without winning the championship?
Yes, without winning.
They've been there?
Correct. They have been there, but they have never won. Which team has the longest championship drought in their franchise history?
The Pacers.
It's not the Pacers. The Pacers are fourth at 46 seasons since they last won a championship.
Well, who been there? They got one.
So say the question again.
All right, so of the teams that have appeared in a finals,
yes.
In fact, some of these teams have won finals, but... of the teams that have appeared in the finals, what is the longest NBA title drought for a franchise? Or
right.
Which franchise has the longest drought?
Since they last won?
No. It could be just in general.
It could be just in general.
But these teams have all appeared in the finals.
Washington?
Not Washington either. Washington's drought isn't even... I guess not even considered on this list, although the fact that... Oh, no, by the way, this was teams that have not won a finals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not...
Okay.
No. Teams that have appeared but have not won.
Okay, so I was thinking since you were saying that they... Okay. Can I answer?
Yes, I'll give you another opportunity.
I would like to know who number one.
Since they've been there and not won.
Correct. And this doesn't necessarily mean that their drought is... Like, they haven't been to the finals since 1970.
Yeah.
But it's just in their franchise history. They've never won, but have been there.
The Nets.
It's not the Nets either.
Wow.
At 54 seasons, this team came into the league in 1969 and have yet to win an NBA title. It is the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we tried to break that last season. Yeah, Spider. Oh, man.
Wow.
Phoenix Suns. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
All right, you got it. And I know they were saying that last season, too. And
54 seasons.
54 seasons.
They came into the league in 1969.
Definitely thought it was going to snap last year.
So, of the teams that have made finals appearances with lengthy, because the Clippers are second with the longest drought, it's 52, but they've never appeared. Of the teams that have finals appearances that have lengthy droughts, the Utah Jazz are at 48. They last appeared in 1998. The Indiana Pacers, as Spider mentioned, are third with 46. They last appeared in 2000. The Brooklyn Nets are fourth. They appeared last in 03. It's 46 seasons. And the Orlando Magic have not won in 33 years.
See, I knew it wasn't the Magic, but I thought with the Nets, because, of course, they came in late with the ABA, but it was still in the 80s. And... Yeah, okay. Phoenix Suns, 50-69. Okay. All right.
Yeah, two finals appearances for them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
No wins.
Yeah. 93 in last season. Mark, big slim OA. Sixers won't win it with Embiid being the first option. But the shrug, like, last center to lead a team to a chip was Malone in 83, so the answer is absolutely not. So, Mark, are you not... counting Shaq because Kobe was there. Kobe was there and Olajuwon in 94-95. Yeah. Because 94-95, Akeem did that. And then Shaq in the 2000s with Kobe. Early 2000s with Kobe. So I say yes. I still say yes. Still say yes. All right. Jerry wants to talk about this as well. So let's get to Jerry in Lansdowne next on 97.5. Hey, Jerry.
Devon. See, you done got me. I didn't want to call in on you, man. You got to get me calling in.
Why not? Why not?
You always get me, man. You always get me. Now, here we go.
Yeah.
The operative saying is not when with a big man center, a dominant big man center. See, what we got with Embiid is a dominant big man, just not a big man center. Dominant. Now, what I want to ask you is, well, I went back and looked at that first game with Toronto. A lot of Embiid had about 19 points, and everybody said, well, Embiid didn't have a good game. To me, that was a great game that he played. And I don't know how you felt about that game, but to me...
You're talking about this playoff run?
Yeah, when Toronto...
Yes, yeah.
That first game when...
when Maxey had 38, yeah.
Right. He was coming up setting picks for Maxey. I mean, the flow was crazy. But when he's trying to get to 30 and all that, the flow is slow, and then it's almost like they speeding him up to get turnovers. And, you know, that game to me, that's how I would like to see him play. Like, it was almost like Ayton from Phoenix, that type of center. I don't want a dominant big man center because you're going to get three people back there, and you're going to be able to give them the ball. You waiting, you spending all that time trying to see how you get the ball to them.
Yeah, but you have him and he is dominant to your point. Why can't you just surround him with the right ones and get it done?
But then, so then,
is it him or is it the people around him?
But it's how you're going to do it. See, when they did it in that game I was talking about, that's the way to do it. But with him being like, y'all want him to be like the 35 points, that's not going to do it.
No, but see, that's the thing. I said it already. If you get into the NBA Finals and you have to score 25 a game because all the attention that you're getting means that you have to give the ball up and give it to your teammates and allow them to do their part in helping you win, then you do it.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say one thing. I don't think Bradley Beal is the star chasing the star again. Like, I would like to see, like, a Jeremy Grant and, like, a Jrue Holiday. Like, two guys like that would be more impactful than just a Bradley Beal, if you ask me.
Yeah, see, I also don't want Bradley Beal because if, let's say, somehow, some way they get it done and they keep Maxey, then I'm like, what am I doing with Maxey?
Right. Gotta have Maxey.
Well, I personally would like to keep him, but, you know, what are you doing with Maxey? And if you're able to keep Tyrese Maxey on your team and you get Bradley Beal, now you have Beal, Maxey, and Harden. How's that going to look? I prefer somebody with some size, some length, and some athleticism. Nothing against.
Wings and guards.
But that's the wing. That's it. 100%. 100%.
All right, man.
You want a question for the NBA Finals trivia?
Go ahead.
All right, let's do it.
Tyler. All right, Jerry, here's your question. You guys up still 1-0 on Devon. In the NBA's history, only one team has won the NBA Finals as a 5 seed or lower. And in fact, they were the 6 seed when they did this. You don't have to give me the year, just the team that won the NBA Finals as a 6 seed.
Wow, that's a hard one, man. I can't get a time frame.
I will give you the decade of the 1990s.
The 90s. Well, shoot, the Bulls were doing it all around then, wasn't they?
Should help you narrow it down a little bit.
Oh, man. I can't think of one.
A 6 seed.
6 seed in the 90s.
Winning
the lowest seed to ever win the finals. Only one team ever has done it.
All right, so you got them. They want it. Then they want it. The Rockets. Which one?
1995 Houston Rockets were the 6th seed.
Oh, 6th seed.
Yeah, the Rockets.
Because
then Jordan came back, and then they wanted it, you know, they won it again. All right, Jerry, thanks for the call, man, and helping me get that first win. You're the man.
Michael Jordan was suspended. I mean, wasn't playing.
Stop. He's playing baseball.
He was suspended.
He retired.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he did.
Okay.
That's what he did. All right. Yeah, I need a couple more. I'm disappointed in myself. I had to go with the Houston Rockets because I'm like, all right, the Spurs win, Jordan won, and the last three, he won the next three, and then I'm like, where else? That's where I was going. And I was like, all right, got to go. Narrow it down. Houston Rockets.
There you go. You're back in the game.
That's it.
Tie game as we head into the 9 o'clock hour.
Back in the game. All right, 610-632-0975. We get to Stacey to start things off on the other side. We keep the conversation rolling from the Phillies to Embiid and Harper to the Sixers in the 23rd overall selection being deferred back to them. And also, you got a little video game thing happening for this upcoming football season. We'll tell you who's on the cover of Madden for the 23. It's announced. We'll get to it next, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that ball. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you here on this Wednesday night. 610-632-0975 Family Game Night. NBA Finals Trivia. 1-1. I've evened the score. I'm not proud of it. That is 1-1 at this point. 610-632-0975. Have you been following this Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial that's been going on at all?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not privy to the whole thing.
Neither am I. But apparently he was rewarded some money.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that there was whatever the defamation case ended up being, he won both in, there's like, he won two different ways, and one was like punitive something, and I forget what the other one was, but like I said, I'm not entirely privy to the entire case. I know the situation behind it, but not the entire case.
He was awarded $15 million in damages. Like he needs it. $15 million in damages.
It's not about the money in this situation.
No, it's not.
It's about understanding that, you know, domestic violence can happen to men as well.
Yeah.
So, and kind of bringing that to light.
She wrote in an op-ed in the Post, Washington Post, in 2018, describing herself as a public figure representing domestic abuse. And the jury... But also found, though, that Heard had been defamed by one of Depp's lawyers when he called her abuse allegations a hoax in this thing. And Depp said he was humbled by the decision. Heard was awarded $2 million in damages, has said she was, quote, disappointed with what the verdict means for other women in this whole thing. So I have not been paying attention to it, but for it to get this far, and yes, as you mentioned, it's not a one-way thing. It's not a one-way thing when it comes to domestic abuse. And I did hear some of like the audio clips and stuff like that. I heard some of that, a little bit of that. I haven't heard much. Six weeks. My goodness. It went 6 weeks long? Okay. Well, Depp's, the jury decided in Depp's favor. Wow. Okay. That went on for a long time. Every time you turn to Twitter, it would be right there at the top. Live. Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial. Okay. There it is. I didn't pay enough attention to it. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. Okay. Just thought I'd ask. See if you've been paying attention to that. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Stacy in North Philly. He wants to talk about winning with a big man in today's league. Stacy.
Hey, good evening, Devon and crew. How is everyone?
Going well. What's up, Stace?
I'll try to keep my under control here. Real quick, Joel needs some young horses to run with him. He doesn't need somebody old, slow, and more petulant that won't shoot. I wouldn't pay Harden 47 cents, much less $47 million.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's his choice.
Well, I would be working on trying to get rid of him, making a deal with somebody. Now, granted, I don't know how that works, because the NBA, you got to make the money match, which does make it a little bit more challenging than the other leagues. But they're not going to win with this guy, man. This was a horrible trade. And that's saying something, considering the fact that in our lifetime, the Sixers have traded 4 Hall of Famers and 3 of them are on the 75 greatest of all time. It's ridiculous.
Well, right now it doesn't look great because of what happened in the exit in the second round and how things played out in games 5 and 6 for sure. I guess at this point you got to give him the opportunity to come back and see if he's healthy, see if he's engaged in this whole thing, knowing that he's starting off with this team as a full training camp, a full preseason, and get things going. I mean, that's the only thing we could look at, because say he's not going to get traded, who's going to trade for him? And with that being said, he's going to be back.
Well, see, that's the part that's the most disturbing. That's why, you know, why they should consider getting rid of Morey, too. I mean, we have not developed any young talent here. Maxey would have been gone if it wasn't for 25 doing what he did. He would have been gone. And it's ridiculous. Like, none of these young guys that we have on our bench was worked on, was developed at all. It's ridiculous. And, I mean, and then people are blaming Embiid, I guess, because he's the franchise player, and that makes sense. But how do you get angry at a dude that got his face cracked and suffered a concussion? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ludicrous.
Now, look, he was out there, so you need him to perform, but it cannot be ignored that his face was broken, and he had, now that we know, on his left hand, he also had this half surgery to repair a finger on that hand as well. So, of course, we know he wasn't 100%. I think you can win with him, and Stacey, clearly you do too. You just have to make sure you put the right pieces around him.
Well, like I say, that's again, I think that's the biggest challenge, because, again, we gave up draft picks because he has this bromance with Harden that he didn't even look at what the other teams offered him, which were far better, were far younger players with more upside than what this guy has. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, maybe so. No, that may be true. But when we needed it, we vilified Simmons for the very same thing that this dude, Harden did, and he was reported to be the scorer.
Yeah, but Simmons, and, you know, we know why that happened. But listen, James Harden does not get off the hook for what he did. But the way Simmons did what he did, also, I mean, I put them in the same conversation. I get you, because the point guard and the playoffs and all of that. But how Simmons did it, knowing that you had that opportunity to beat the Atlanta Hawks the way that they should have, and his other failures with the Sixers in the second round previously, then that's why I still give the edge to Simmons and saying that his was worse.
But again, Harden did the same thing to 2 different teams.
Yeah, but so that's their teams. Yeah, but I was looking at a situation where I thought that they had a really good chance to win with him here against their matchup, the Miami Heat. I only saw it once here in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? So I get your point to the other situations, and that I don't ignore them, but I'm talking about with what they have and what they were able to do there with that one spot that he was in, that's why I still give it to Simmons.
Okay, well, I would have loved to see what this team could have been had we gotten a Jaylen Brown, or had we gotten Halliburton and Hill, or some of the other offers that were made to us, where we wouldn't have had to give up assets, where we would have gotten them, as opposed to we basically revived Brooklyn because they didn't have a draft pick for the next 6 years, and we just revived them.
I just don't get it.
Well, I hear you, man. But, hey, they gave that pick back to the Sixers, and the Sixers are still going to be good next year, so it's still going to be in the 20s. But if they feel like the draft is deeper, then, you know, that's an honor for them. But you want to play the game with the Stacey where we have our NBA Finals trivia?
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right, Stacey, so we were just talking about six seed. A six seed was the lowest seeded team to ever win the NBA Finals. Now, with that being said, only one team in NBA history has either been a 7 or an 8 seed and appeared in the NBA Finals. Only one team did it. Who is the only team to appear in the NBA Finals as either a 7 or an 8 seed?
Seven or an 8.
I think I know this
one. I want to say the Denver Nuggets.
Not the Denver Nuggets.
Nah, they beat that team in the first round as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks?
Is the New York Knicks.
Remember the
1999.
Yeah, the strike-shortened season where the Knicks and the Spurs matched up in the NBA Finals. Stace, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Good stuff. Thank you, man. Sorry about that. I cut you off there. Yeah, the New York Knicks taking on the San Antonio Spurs in that one. I remember that. And that's when the Spurs got it going. That's when they got it going. David Robinson, Tim Duncan on that team. Avery Johnson was hitting everything. Everything.
Was Steve Kerr on that team?
I want to say yes.
What about Horry? Was Horry on the team at that point?
Also want to say yes. Sean Elliott there. Was Jaren Jackson on that team? Senior? I want to say Jaren Jackson was on that team. Steve Kerr, Avery Johnson, was Vinny Del Negro on it? I don't know if Vinny was part of that team. But the core was, the core, of course, was Robinson, Duncan, Elliott, and Avery Johnson was the starter. Was Mario Elliott on that team, too? It's a good question. I don't know, but I remember that. I'm up 2-1. I'm up 2-1.
You are. You can't give the lead back now.
I'm storming back. 610-632-0975. Do you compare Harden and Simmons with how they both performed? Even though this was Harden's first, where we saw Simmons, though, in 4 second-round matchups not perform well?
No. And the reason that I don't is because I had, it's as weird as it is to say, I almost had lesser expectations for Harden than I did for Simmons. And that's probably unfair to Ben Simmons because of the fact that you bring in Harden, you make a trade, you make a big trade, and he's supposed to be the number two, the guy that gets you over at least the second round hump and gets you into the Eastern Conference Finals. But I feel like I put more pressure on Ben Simmons because I was asking him to just play his game. I was asking him to just be aggressive.
About Atlanta. We're talking about all 4.
I agree. And that's what I'm saying. I was asking him to just play his game, not asking him to do anything, you know, outside of himself. And I think I did the same thing for James Harden, but the more pressure I put on between the two of them was Ben Simmons.
And that's because of, again, 4 appearances in the second round, and he didn't perform well in any of the 4. Maybe he had some games, but he didn't have a complete series enough for them to move on. And that was the problem. James Harden coming in, there was still that, hey, I still don't think they're going to get to the NBA Finals, but they make him a better overall playoff type of team. A contender, if you will, in the East. Before that, they were just a team that was going to make the playoffs, maybe win a round, but you knew they couldn't win the second round with Curry and Drummond still part of that team. It was more about next season and the season after that. With Simmons, especially the years that we were talking about with the Toronto series and the Hawks series, now we will bring it up. He was supposed to be a difference maker. Defensively, which he was last season, but offensively, not struggling the way that he was, and then we saw it. That's why I still put it on him. James Harden will have a chance to redeem himself now, next season. Will he do it? We don't know. We don't know. But I still say that Simmons was more disappointing. Mark and Conshohocken next on 97.5. Hey, Mark.
Hey, happy hump day to you and Tyler.
You too, man. Thank you.
And shout out happy hump day to Mikey Miz. He's listening. Best of luck to him.
Yes, indeed.
So with Embiid, the thing with Embiid is I think the reason that there hasn't been a lot of centers winning a title recently is just because, you know, we haven't seen people as skilled as Embiid and Jokic in a long time. And I think, you know, when kids have been growing up over the last 20 to 30 years, they're not working on the center position. They're working on ball handling and shooting regardless how tall they are. I think if Kevin Durant grew up in the 80s, he'd probably be one of the best all-time centers in the history of the league right now. I just think the game has changed, but that doesn't mean they can't win. I think... So technically, Tim Duncan was a power forward, but let's face it, he played a lot like a center. He plays a lot more like Embiid than he does Giannis. And, you know, for 4 to 5 championships, he was the best player on that team. The other one, the first one year, was probably David Robinson, and he was a center. And he had a team that was built around him, and a lot, about 3 of those championships came after renaissance of the change of the game and the 3-point shot. So I think if you have the player who's that tall and happens to play a position and he's skilled enough, I don't see any reason why you can't, but we're lacking in so many other areas, and that's the real reason.
I agree. I think that's the real reason. It's easy to point to Embiid and say, why are you not getting them over the hump? But when you look at it, and you look at it in totality, it's the other parts that are not also doing enough. Can't expect them to actually win you the series, but to take a game here and there and to help out or just simply do their part, then, yeah, you know, Joel Embiid will have his team in the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals because of that.
Right. I mean, people like Bruce Bowen and Manu Ginobili and Robert Horry, they all had their parts in different wins, either if it was Robinson or Duncan leading the way. We don't have that right now.
Yep.
Quick comment on the off-season moves. I heard you talking about the possibility of whether or not to re-sign Danny Green so that we can unload it.
Well, he has they have a team option of to pick up his $10 million.
Yeah, so I didn't research this myself, but I heard Dee Lynam say this, and I trusted facts are always straight. But from what I understand from listening to her is that if they pick up the team option, they have $6 million for a mid-level exception. But if they don't pick it up, then they have $10 million for a mid-level exception. And I feel like that $4 million could be a big difference in helping us get maybe a number 3 starter in here,
100%.
Or at least a quality veteran piece that we need. So if that is the case and that's true, then I would hope they don't pick it up.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely, man. All right, you ready to play the game, Mark?
Oh yeah, sure.
Let's do it, Tyler Zuli.
All right, Mark. You guys now down 2-1. You got an opportunity to tie this thing up. Of the NBA Finals matchups, of course, the most appearances between two teams or the most matchups between two teams is the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers. The two teams have played each other 12 times. So let's take the Celtics and the Lakers out of the equation for just a moment. And I'm going to ask you this. What matchup has been the most frequent matchup in NBA Finals history that does not involve either the Lakers or the Celtics? And I will tell you this, it is 4 times this matchup has happened.
Ooh. Wow.
You said not the Lakers and who?
Do not include the Lakers or the Celtics.
Okay. On either side.
Correct.
Let me know when I'm running out of time. I'll just throw a guess out there, but I'm still trying to think this one through. It's not the Bulls.
You need both sides, right? Tyler?
Correct.
Both teams.
And if you told me it was in the 2000s, I'd say the Heat and the Mavericks, but I know that was their only two. Warriors and Cavaliers?
That's a great one. Look at you. Look at you.
I almost said Bullocks and Sonics.
Yeah, because they, what, they get there four times? Was it four times, Tyler, that they got there?
Who?
The Cavs and the Warriors.
Four consecutive times,
yeah. Yep. Great pull, Mark. That's where I was going. Sweet. Yeah, I was trying to go for that 3-1 lead. Thanks, man.
I almost didn't flip. I was a second away from saying the Bullets and the Sonics because I know they played back-to-back. But
in the set, okay, got forward. You. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good
right,
pull
have
by
a good
you.
Night, guys.
Thank you, man.
So the Bullets and the Sonics did play back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for Mark, that was the only two times they played each other.
Yeah, and the same for the Jazz and the Bulls when they played in the 90s, back-to-back. But yeah, that's a great pull.
So the Cavs and the Warriors, by the way, are fourth. We're tied for fourth, I should say, with most meetings. Now, the other one is the Boston Celtics and the Hawks when they were the St. Louis Hawks. So I'm going to give you these two, tied for second and third. This one is five. The other one is six, how many times that they have matched up. Both include the Lakers.
Oh, say one more time.
So this number two all time is six matchups.
Six matchups.
Number three is five matchups.
Okay.
Both include the Lakers. Give me the other two teams.
And this is not. This is taking Celtics out of it.
Celtics
right?
are not in this equation. As my voice cracks, sound like a 12-year-old.
All right, Lakers, in both of them.
Correct.
Lakers, Sixers.
That's one. That's the number two.
Okay. And Lakers, Pistons.
No, it is Lakers.
Hold on, Lakers. I was thinking Pistons just because of the times that they...
I think they might have two. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They have three.
They have three.
88, 89, and 04.
I was thinking the 04 one that would have added something on there. Okay. So Lakers, Sixers, and Lakers...
I will give you this. This matchup happened in 52, 53, 70, 72, and 73.
Oh.
And the Lakers are winning this series 3-2 all time.
The Knicks?
It is the Knicks, yeah. Yes.
Okay, got you. Yep. All right, got me. Almost. All right, we got to tell you what happened with the baseball team. If you're leaving the Citizens Bank Park, you can give us a call. Give us your thoughts, 610-632-0975. Final segment here on the other side, the Leftovers with Tyler Zuli at 945. We'll tell you about who will grace the cover of the Madden 23 game three times. Talk about it next, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Final segment, 931, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli in 14 minutes with the Leftovers here on this Wednesday night. And we have a final with the Phillies. They win the game, snap their 5-game losing streak by a score of 6-5. They get four in the sixth to come back, take the lead. Maton and Schwarber with two run home runs to give them the win. They got 10 hits tonight, and in the win, 6 runs, 10 hits, no errors. 5-5-1 for the San Francisco Giants as they win the series 2-1, but the Phillies avoid the sweep. Aaron Nola does pick up the win. He goes 6-5 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, no walks. And Garcia gets the loss, 4 earned runs, and 1 in a third. Just a lot of quick work for him for the Giants and Corey.
Yeah, he struggled out of the bullpen
today. Yeah, Corey Knebel got the save, one inning pitch, one strikeout, and he gets the win. So they snap their five-game losing streak. They get the win, and they, well, at least for now, they have the day off tomorrow, and we'll have to back off Joe Girardi.
No, I don't think we do.
No?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this one win doesn't do anything for me. I mean, it certainly stems the tide of the five-game losing streak, but I don't think we have to back off of them.
Okay. Look at you. Look at you.
Because nothing changes in the next 36 hours. Until you get ready to play the Angels again, nothing's changed other than you've got this win.
Very true. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, they get the win. So, if you want to call in, you're leaving the sports complex, you're leaving the Citizens Bank Park, and you want to talk about the Phils 6-5 win on Miles Teller night, right? Miles Teller night there at the ballpark.
Yeah, I think it was more Top Gun night, but he was there.
Top Gun night for Miles Teller night, because he's there. So, there you go. There you go. Get the win. Hopefully, they can build off of that. They have the Los Angeles Angels coming into town. Mike Trout coming home. Shohei Ohtani. Should be fun. Nice warm nights here in town. Not too hot. You know, decent enough. Not too hot, but decent enough. And yeah, man.
It'll be interesting to see.
Take it.
It'll be interesting to see what the rotation looks like this weekend. Obviously, it's still TBDs across the board. It's actually TBDs across the board for both teams. So I don't know what the rotations are going to shape up to look like. So it'll be interesting to see when the Phillies decide to, because it's not an if, it's going to be a when the Phillies decide to use Bailey Falter in the rotation this weekend.
When, not if. Okay. All right. You got it, man. Appreciate it. Also, we talked about this with the video game. Madden, we always look forward to seeing who's going to be on the cover of Madden. It's going to be Matt Stafford. It's going to be Cooper Kupp, right? After you win the Super Bowl, you have a great season. It's going to be Aaron Donald to grace the cover of Madden, the longtime famed football game, with John Madden being the face of it, but also giving the opportunity to give others who have played and had the seasons, had the great seasons, to come in and make the cover. And you will look at the Super Bowl champion and what they did, or someone who's the MVP overall, had a fantastic season, Aaron Rodgers, and say that they will grace the cover. Well, in this particular case, John Madden, who recently passed away, as we know, the game has been going on for many, many years, and he has not been on the cover of Madden for a long time. So they decided to honor him by putting him on three different covers of the game. Madden 23, the legendary John Madden, will grace the cover of three different Madden covers honoring the legendary John Madden. Tyler, you getting it? Going to buy one?
Well, right now, no. And it's not because of anybody who's on the cover or anything like that. It's more along the lines of I don't have the systems to cooperate with it. However, I think that this is a cool nod to John Madden. I think that this makes sense. He hasn't actually been on the cover since 2000. That was the last time he was on the cover of the game. And in some instances, it was 1999, depending on the system that you had, because in 2000, I believe, if I remember, maybe it was 2000 and 2001 in some instances, because I believe Garrison Hurst was the first official player on the cover. And then I think Eddie George graced the cover in 01.
Well, I also do not have the systems, as you talked about. We talked about this recently where I was asking, do I need to? Do I need to go out there and get a system? And I still haven't decided what I want to do. But that being said, it's pretty cool, though. It's pretty cool to see them back there, back on it, and like the idea of that happening. So before we get to your leftovers, tomorrow, the NBA Finals, I wanted to know your thoughts on the finals. I already said I think the Celtics win in six.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
I am going to disagree with you. I'm going to give you the same number.
I hope you're right.
But I believe it will be the Golden State Warriors in six, especially, and I know you mentioned this as maybe something that could be a detriment to them, especially if Gary Payton can become healthy. Not that he is the driving force by any means, but he's part of their depth. He's a necessary piece. But I think that this is an opportunity. We talked about the odds the other night, and actually, I think it might have been last night we talked about the odds. If I'm taking Steph Curry to win the Finals MVP, which I think is probably, even though the money's not great, it's the right play, mm-hmm. considering he's never won one, I have to believe that I think that that means that the Warriors win this series. Can Boston give them fits? 100%.
Yep.
Can they win a game in Oakland or in San Francisco? Absolutely. I just don't know if Boston's ability to win at home is going to be so locked tight. And I know that that's not the last time we saw them play at home. They didn't win a game, and it was a closeout game. But I don't think it's going to be so locked tight where if Golden State can win a game in Boston, I think they should go 3-1 or maybe 3-0, I should say, in their home arena.
Okay.
So I will take Golden State in six.
I like it. I hope you are correct because I don't want the Celtics to win. I do not want them to win the NBA championship.
And yes, by the way, that means they will have to win a closeout game on the road.
On the road. It's not like they haven't done it before. They can do that. They can do that. So, yeah. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'll take that.
You'll take anything to keep the Celtics from winning.
This is correct.
Except your own brain, which tells you that the Celtics are going to win.
This is correct. This is absolutely correct. I cannot have the Celtics win. I just cannot. I cannot. But again, I was just talking about this last week. They were building when the Sixers were building.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is their first championship experience, I mean, NBA Finals, they have been to the Eastern Conference Finals before, Jason Tatum's rookie season, when they beat the Sixers. And I can't stand that they are in this spot. I really can't. I can't stand that they're in this spot over the 76ers. I really can't. But when you draft and you build, you hit on picks like Marcus Smart first, Jaylen Brown, and then Jason Tatum. And then you, again, you work around the edges and you get things done there. I mean, you have to give them, you have to give them credit for what they did. You really do. You have to give them credit. So
I know you don't want to do it. And nobody here wants to do it.
No, and look, I said I like the players.
They've done a great job.
I like what, you know, if they weren't in the green jerseys, I would like that team.
So you put Charlotte Hornets on that on their,
I would like
the front of their jerseys
because I like the players.
Would you root for them in the finals?
No,
still rooting for Golden State.
Yes,
okay.
Because we're talking about now history. We're talking about their legacies of the four of the three of them.
I think their legacies are secure. I don't.
Yeah,
think
but
they
you just keep adding
else.
On to it. And look, and I say that because where they have three, then you start talking about is there enough time for Steph Curry to get a fifth one if they win this one? Right, Tim Duncan has five. Kobe has five, Jordan has six, everybody, LeBron has four. So, you know, what would, yeah, two of Miami, one Cleveland.
Correct.
What does this do for Steph Curry if he's now, you know, we're talking about LeBron, he has as many as LeBron James in less time. 10 appearances for LeBron, this would be seven?
Correct.
Seven for Steph Curry?
Yes.
Klay Thompson and Draymond Green?
They lost to Cleveland once.
They lost to Cleveland.
And Toronto.
And Toronto. So this would be, no, six then. Because they won
They've
three.
Got three.
They won three, yes. Lost two. So this would be six. So you pick up four in six tries. That's not bad at all.
No, I mean.
And then you're now in the conversation with LeBron James, Steph Curry, not for to be the best player of all time, but just in terms of the history. They're all Hall of Famers. You know how I feel about all three of them. They're all Hall of Famers because of
right.
their resume.
Yep.
But for him, we know we're talking about him as an all-time great.
think he's already an all-time. He's the greatest shooter in NBA history.
Yeah, but you add on those championships, it just does different things to you. And he's doing it differently where everybody talks about the Kevin Durant part of it. And he didn't have to win this one with Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I mean, but he didn't have to win the first two with Kevin Durant either.
No, he did not. So well, the first one.
First
one. They lost that other one to Cleveland.
Does Durant have two?
Durant has two.
Okay.
Yeah, Durant has two.
So then, yeah, they didn't have to win the first one without Durant.
Durant had two.
Yeah, because they went back to back.
They went back to back. And they were going for the third when he tore his Achilles. Yeah, going.
Because it was loss. It was win against Cleveland without him.
Yes.
Loss to Cleveland.
In game seven.
Without
Draymond
him.
Got suspended.
Yes. Yep. That was the year they went 73-9.
So they've been
nine.
There seven times.
Correct.
No,
six times.
Six times. They lost to Cleveland and they lost to Toronto.
No, they've been there five times. They're 3-2. It was win, loss, win, win, loss. They've been there five times.
All right, five. This is six. This is six. Right, okay. So, yeah. But if he wins another one, man, he's in that conversation with Duncan, Kobe, who has five, but he's in that conversation of now, can he catch? Can he get the fifth one before LeBron gets the fifth one? Who has the better chance to get the fifth one, LeBron or Curry? That will be the discussion.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind right now. It's Curry.
Right.
I mean, based on current construct.
Yeah, and look at their team. Look at their team. They have the mixture of their vets.
Sure.
Who are the foundation for all these years and their dynasty and all that stuff. And then you bring in Jordan Poole. Well, you include Kevon Looney because he was part of the late part, too. But you bring in Jordan Poole, young player. You find Gary Payton. He's a young player. Now you mix in Jonathan Kuminga, another young player. Moses Moody, another young player. And they're giving you actual minutes in these series to help you win and do all this stuff where we know that Klay Thompson's coming back trying to be Klay Thompson again. Stephen Curry, who had that ankle injury at the beginning, when Marcus Smart fell on his leg. And they weren't happy about that. Hey, man, they're going for something here. They're going for something here. So it's going to be a good finals, I think. And you have the Warriors in six. I have the Celtics in six. I hope you are correct. And I do hope that it is, in fact, the Warriors in four.
I think you want Warriors in four.
Warriors in
clean,
four.
Clean sweep.
All right, man. It's time. Let's get to the screeching tires and that Jay-Z music next right here. Tyler.
All right, let's start with Major League Baseball. As the general manager of the Washington Nationals, Mike Rizzo, says that the team has no interest in trading young superstar Juan Soto. Instead, they say that they are going to build around their superstar outfielder. And excuse me, I said he was the general manager, but he's also the president of baseball operations. He directly addressed this, maybe for the first time, says, quote, "We're not trading Juan Soto. We made it clear to his agent and to the player." Now, the 23-year-old does become a free agent after the 2024 season. He was offered a contract earlier last year that he declined. It was a 13-year contract worth $350 million. And in fact, it wasn't last season. It was last year, right before the lockout. Now, we know that the Nationals finished last in the division last year. They are retooling, rebuilding, whatever the case you want to call it. And they're currently 15 games under 500, which leads to people saying that maybe they move on because they're not competing and they don't want to waste his prime years, and they can get a ridiculous haul for a player of the caliber and age of Juan Soto. Right now this season, off to a little bit of a slow start. He is only hitting .232, but he does have 9 home runs and 16 RBIs. But you know that a player of his caliber will not be held down for an entire season.
I'm not going to say and say I can't see him leaving, because we've seen so many players leave their situations. Leave that team specifically. He's going to get paid regardless. So, he's not going anywhere right now. That doesn't mean he's not going anywhere when it's time. Because that guy's a talent and everyone is going to come after him, especially with him bouncing back and just playing the way that he plays.
It would not shock me in the least if whatever his contract ends up being, however many years it ends up being, the contract value is worth $500 million.
Yeah, wow.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, but he's that good.
He's 23 years old.
He is that good.
Even if you give him a 13-year deal, you're getting prime Juan Soto for minimum, I would say, 9 or 10 of those seasons. And then you deal with designated hitter Juan Soto when he's, 35, 36 years old. You may end up making that a steal of a contract.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt. No doubt.
Let's move on to this story. This is a little strange to me. Now, I've seen this happen before in Major League Soccer, but every time it does happen, it is a little bit strange. As Charlotte FC has fired their head coach, Miguel Ramirez, on Tuesday after just 14 games into the regular season. Now, that happens, right? Guys get fired in the middle of the regular season. Here's what's strange, is that Ramirez was fired in the expansion season for Charlotte FC. This is their very first season in Major League Soccer. He went 5-8-1 with the club over those 14-game stretch. So I want to ask you, Devon, is it a little weird for you to see a guy whose record, 5-8-1, is not great, but it's an expansion roster, and there's just three games under what you would call 500 in some of the other
American sports? Yeah, because you would expect them to give him a little more time, right?
I mean, you would think so.
So, is there something going on in the inner workings where they decided they had to move on because he wasn't connecting with the players, they didn't like the morale in there, and the culture was really, really bad? Something had to be up. It can't just be the record, because, you know, you're building. You give time.
So how about this? On top of the head coach, assistant coach Mikel Antia, head fitness coach Cristobal Fuentes Nieto, and first team video analyst Luis Piedrahita were also all fired. So it had to be something,
has to be
deeper
something
than
else.
Just a record.
Yeah.
Because 5-8-1, it's not good, but for an expansion team, they could be 0-12-2. You know what I mean?
They're an expansion team for a reason. You come in and you build from the ground up and you get things going. It doesn't have to be the Las Vegas Golden Knights right out of the gate.
Right.
Precisely. Take time.
More times than not, expansion teams are very, very bad. This team right now is just bad.
Yeah. With time. Yeah.
Precisely. Let's go to the NFL next. After 8 years in the NFL, Pittsburgh defensive end Stephon Tuitt announced that he is going to retire. The 29-year-old did not play last year following the death of his brother in a hit-and-run crash. He said, quote, "After the tragic loss of my brother Richard, and upon completing my degree from the University of Notre Dame, I know I am being called to move beyond the sport of football." He was selected in the second round of the 2014 NFL draft, and he spent all 8 of his NFL seasons with the organization. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who did not address the defensive line position in the NFL draft, are going to be a little bit thin on the defensive line, as they are down to just a few position players who may be to its replacement, including Chris Wormley.
Well, were they expecting him to come back? Did he give any indication that he was returning after sitting out the last season? Did he let them know?
So it says
sometimes
the Steelers,
you get called,
said they were optimistic that he would return. The quote from Kevin Colbert earlier this year said, quote, "We've been in contact with Stephon, and we are open to continue to help him, and we will continue to evaluate that position and his availability for us. We just hope for the best for him as he tries to come back and be a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers." So it seemed like, at least in the back of their mind, they had a hope that he would return, but decided that he's walking away from football.
If it's the back of your mind and you have hope where there's no certainty, you know what teams do. They typically
draft players,
worry about themselves,
sure,
and draft players. They should have drafted themselves a player, knowing that this could be a possibility. Maybe not super high, but a player that still has talent on your board, third round, still can come in as a defensive lineman and do some work.
So Tuitt, by the way, had 1 year left on his deal that was worth approximately $10 million, but it can be spread out over multiple years because this transaction, if you will, his retirement, will be processed today or after that, which is the June 1st cutoff date.
Oh, interesting. So he'll still get some money.
No, he's not going to get any money. Oh. The team is going to have a little bit of cap flexibility because they can spread that $10 million out over like a 3-3, 3-3, 3-3 over the next three seasons as opposed to a $10 million cap this upcoming season.
All right.
And that, Devon, is what we have for our leftovers for Wednesday night.
Oh, good job, man. That's some good stuff right there. Let me, Jamal Hutchinson says, "Phillies didn't understand the assignment tonight. We needed the, quote, sloppy Joe, end quote, axed tomorrow." Maul, we hear you, Maul. We hear you.
I think you might have to wait one more series.
Boston is on this spot, and we aren't, because nobody knew Simmons would be a flake and false people would change his shot in the offseason, thus messing him up. That's why. That's why they're in the spot and the Sixers not. But guess what? They are. That's the bottom line. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Tyler will be off. Make sure you check out him on the weekend. Everybody be cool. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.